about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I hate Mondays.
Yeah, they're the worst.
No worries, man. Everything will be alright.
Yeah, man.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My balls itch so much. They really, really itch a lot. My balls, they itch so much. They really, really itch so much.
Well, that's simply unacceptable.
I'm sure you've seen the numbers. I'm just calling to say not to worry. We're not bothered by it, so don't you be. Don't let it get to you. You guys, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep making with the funny. We're all good.
And now.
Hey, this is Barack. Listen, I need to know if you're on board. Okay, good. Because I'm counting on you. Everybody is.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
It is.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. Brand new week. It is a Monday morning.
What's crackolating, people?
You know. You know how I do.
I know how you do.
Yeah.
Well, we got a huge program today, just action-packed with lots of topics and lots of lots of guests that we're going to get to in a moment. So there's really no other place for me to bring this up. But did you see Chris Kyle, the American Sniper, in the news this weekend, Kevin? Did you catch this news?
I did see that.
This is just, again, the sad way to start a new week, but a guy we had on our show that we admired so much, for folks who don't recognize the name, he was the American Sniper. He was the guy who was incredibly decorated as a sniper. He had over 150 kills, including one. Remember when we had him on the show when he was telling us about a kill he made from a mile away?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yep.
Or it was a little over a mile, if I recall correctly. You know you're doing something right when you have a nickname with the enemy. The Taliban called him the Devil of Ramadi.
Yeah.
Put a bounty on his head because he was taking out so many people. And he was the guy, what his job was, and you'll find out why I'm referring to him in the past tense in a moment. What his job was he was the overview guy when the Marines were going in someplace. He was the guy who was way up high somewhere who was looking for people who saw them or looking for people who were going to get in their way or something like that. And he would take them out so that they could do their mission. Just incredibly dangerous work, and he was heavily, heavily decorated. 38 years old. He retired from the service in 2009, and then he wrote that best-selling book, The American Sniper, which just became a sensation. Remember, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
Sold almost a million copies of the book. He had in-store appearances where 1,000 people would show up. I mean, everybody wanted to meet this guy because he's, you know, in an incredibly difficult job, he's the best that ever did it. Former Navy SEAL, the whole deal.
Yep.
So what he was doing with his time after he retired was he was helping other veterans who would have trouble, you know, PTSD and whatnot, and have trouble readjusting to home life. He had a whole organization, a whole program where he would, you know, meet with them and take them out and exercise with them and, you know, just try to make sure their heads were on straight, make sure that, you know, they were adjusting properly. And one of the things that he would do was take them to a gun range near his home in Texas. And that's what happened on Saturday, is he and another soldier took this guy who was still in the reserves, another guy who, by the way, had tremendous credentials, had been heavily decorated himself, another Marine, and they took him to a gun range, and the guy was 25 years old, and the guy turned his gun and killed Chris Kyle and the other man that they were with.
Yeah.
And then jumped in the car and drove away.
Yeah, that's a bummer story right there.
It's
yeah.
a terrible story, but how do you serve all that time overseas like Chris Kyle did and put yourself in the most dangerous and difficult situations in battle and then come home and get killed a couple of miles from your home in peacetime by an American? Like, who would ever in a million years see something like that coming?
Yeah, once a guy like that gets back, you go, wow, he's super lucky that, you know, everything went well over there.
When
you
lucky to still be alive.
Well, yeah, lucky to be alive. Hopefully he doesn't have post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, that's it. He's on the other side. He's free now.
And dedicating his life to helping other people.
Dedicating his life to helping veterans, which is just unbelievable. And the guy was just a straight-up hero. There's no question about that. And I remember when we had him on the show and you asked him, you know, how do you replicate the adrenaline of that job for that long? What do you do? I mean, wouldn't you think that life would just be boring once you got back after that's your job?
Yeah.
Well, he was, you know, he was doing everything he could to continue to help the service members, and it was just, I just couldn't even believe it. I mean, the dude was 38 years old, I think. Yeah, I just couldn't believe it when I saw that. I mean, not just that, you know, we had the guy on the show last year and that super bummed me out, but just, you know, a guy like that has paid his dues and deserves a long, healthy, and happy retirement.
Agreed.
That's all.
Agreed.
So very, very sad. But if you've not seen his book, Kevin, that's one of the few books I believe you actually read a chapter in. Right?
I did. I read a chapter. Yes.
Maybe more.
I may have gotten to two chapters.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Kevin, you know that's a tremendous endorsement.
That's about as high as I go. That's my version of the Oprah Book Club.
They should put that on future reprints of Chris Kyle's book. Kevin read two chapters. It's so good.
So far.
So anyway, you ought to definitely check out the book if you just want to read a fascinating, just unbelievable, incredibly well written book too, well told tale of what his life was like, but very sad ending. And I guess you can have all the, you know, well trained people with guns in the world, you know, competent people, but you just throw one dude in there with mental illness, and
yep,
and all bets are off, I guess. So,
all right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You'll have to decide that for yourself.
I think I do. I think right. People will be excited about this. Okay. We have Sarah Shahi in the studio today.
Yes, we do.
She's so great.
She, of course, is a person of interest. That's what's coming up for her, and she was in a Bullet in the Head. So we got her coming in. We have Char Margolis on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
And she is going to do magic. What does she do? She card tricks?
Isn't she? She's not the psychic, right? She's the one who talks to people, dead people?
She talks
isn't
to
she
dead
the one
people.
Who talks to people on the other side, right?
Does.
I think
yes.
So. None of us believe, but you guys seem to like it, so we have her
this
in.
This is for you.
This is for you. Bianca Kailik, who is, of course, from Rules of Engagement.
Mm-hmm.
We have her coming in today. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
We have some Super Bowl highlights. We have Grammy tickets. Not Grammy tickets, but Grammy pre-party tickets with
yes.
Muse.
Yes.
Oh, that's
this
pretty
this Friday
cool.
night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. Muse is going to be performing, and you get to see it at the Grammys, of course, our Sunday on CBS.
So those it's a very limited ticket. It's a very small room for Muse to be playing, so that's pretty cool. We're going to talk to Matt Money-Smith about the Super Bowl in New Orleans and everything that's going on down there. So we've got that all coming up as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat coming up.
By the way, that deal we were talking about, that pre-Grammy party with the band Muse, huge
yep.
band, tiny venue, going to be
yep.
Friday night. We got those tickets for you next hour between 6 and 7. You get a chance to win. That may even be more special than going to see them at Staples Center last week, right?
Yeah, well, the Staples Center holds 16,000, 17,000 people. This is about
yeah.
100.
Yeah, up close.
That's
and
better.
Personal.
That's better.
A little better.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm told we're giving away tickets to a bull riding event later on today.
Yeah!
Sore stab, but apparently that is also something
Come
that
on,
is happening.
You know our listeners love the rodeo.
Apparently the PBR is the biggest thing going, I guess. All right, it's Monday, 5:52. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Was it just me, or when the lights went out in the Super Bowl last night in New Orleans, did people think... Who knew Beer Mug was working for the NFL? Did anyone?
Fire,
this is what happened.
Fire,
those of you that didn't see it.
At the crowd. At the Super
Bowl.
I said, wow, has he managed to even put them off the air?
It wasn't my fault.
And I also pictured him defending himself as he always does. No! It wasn't my... it was because you
said turn pull that plug. You'll see.
In New Orleans.
You can do it from here. I don't know how, but you did it.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the big movies over the weekend, as we do every Monday, to see what people went to see in the theaters. It looks like a lot of people went to see the Zom-Rom-Com, Warm Bodies. The zombie romantic comedy made $19.5 million. It's number one at the box office over the weekend. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, came in at number two. Then Silver Linings Playbook. Got a little boost from all the award talk and made it number three over the weekend. Mama was fourth.
Mama.
Fifth was Zero Dark Thirty. Then Sylvester Stallone's new film, Bullet to the Head, in its debut, only made $4.5 million.
Wow.
America has said in about as many weeks, we're not interested in seeing Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger anymore. Thank you. Unless they're together with Bruce Willis and a bunch of other guys.
Sure.
But, yeah, I was surprised it was only sixth on the list this morning. Parker was seventh. Django Unchained was eighth. Les Mis was ninth. And then Lincoln rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Kevin Bacon, wildly successful actor for many, many years, has that new series, The Following, on Fox.
On Tonight Again?
Yeah. Have you been watching it?
Yeah.
Great. Great
Love
stuff.
It.
Very tense. Very well acted. Very well written. He says he has, one major phobia. He doesn't like going to weddings.
Really?
Doesn't like going to
doesn't
weddings.
Doesn't like going to weddings, especially the receptions.
Why?
He said because invariably, when he if he's at a wedding reception, the DJ from the wedding party will spot him there and start playing Footloose.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
He says, suddenly people kind of form a circle around me and start clapping like I'm a trained monkey, and they expect me to do the dance routine from Footloose.
As he should.
He says that it's just not fun for him.
I can understand that.
I can, too. However, I would totally rock that dance number.
Would you? You get up
every
there?
Every wedding I was at and just crush.
Yeah. Come on, everybody. Yeah. 95. PGC. I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Yeah. And then being trans just went right into the Footloose theme.
Wow.
He's a flame-throwing DJ in his day.
He sure was. Yeah, I would keep up in practice. I would have that just in my back pocket, and I would just destroy weddings. Then I would just go, I would just flip everybody up and walk out of the room and leave. And get my, throw my ballet ticket to the driver and say, give me my car. I'm out of here. Destroyed that room. Remember the reality TV series The Swan?
Yes.
This was a tragic show on Fox where they would take women with just horrible, horrible stories, and they would give them like 19 plastic surgeries, and they'd liposuction a bunch of fat out of them and give them new dresses and stuff. And then they would pull this piece of fabric off of a mirror and they'd see themselves for the first time.
Yep.
And then they would force these women with horrible self-esteem into a beauty pageant to compete against each other.
So that most of them lose.
So
and
most
are
of them lose and
destroyed.
Heartbroken. And then one they'd give, I don't know, like a watch to or something.
It really was the most incredible show that the reality show that ever aired, I think.
I've never seen more pain inflicted on a group of people than on The Swan.
But that's real talk right there, man.
Well, apparently Fox has is bringing back the series, but they're giving it a twist. They are making over female celebrities. So they're going to take celebrities who have fallen on hard times, female celebrities, and give them the Swan makeover.
And then have a pageant? Same thing?
I don't think they're going to do the pageant. Okay. I think they're just going to do the tremendous plastic surgery slash liposuction slash makeover slash big reveal where they show themselves for the first time on camera.
Pam Anderson?
In those mirrors. Pam is not in the list. Mm. However, they have announced the first two female celebrities they will be making over.
Will Glenda be there?
Former White House intern Monica Lewinsky will be one of them.
The answer to Glenda is no, Bean. She does not need any kind of an update to her look.
So
Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. How much are we? We're talking plastic surgery, Rev?
The second one will be Happy Days co-star Erin Moran.
Ooh,
Joni.
Wow.
Joni from Happy Days will be getting a makeover.
Joni could use a facelift.
She could use a lot of work.
She could use a lot of work.
Here's what they'll do. They get physical, psychological, and career therapy,
okay,
with the help of a coach, a therapist, a trainer, cosmetic surgeons, and a dentist. So they're going to do their teeth, put the veneers on. Remember, they would bring them out and say, okay, yes, I see, you need, I would give you veneers. And they had like a telestrator where they would start drawing lines and stuff on their bodies and face and working them up. And that's what they're going to do.
How embarrassing it must have been. You know, you're on TV and they're just sitting there pointing out everything that's wrong with you.
Well, it was devastating on every level. Now celebrities get to suffer the same pain.
So are celebrities in quote, though? I mean, do we know most of them?
These are
people. Monica Lewinsky is definitely in quote.
Someone you've known. I mean, obviously, she was a high-profile personality at one point. Look, if you were a real celebrity, you had a lot going on. You wouldn't be going on the Swan to get veneers. So,
what does she need, though, besides a job? I mean, really, that's what she needs. I mean, she looks fine, doesn't she? Monica Lewinsky?
I haven't seen her lately. I don't know.
Maybe she's packed on the pounds or something.
Well, she seems like she had a propensity to puff up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what else she's got going on, but maybe a psychological help. That would certainly help. We'll have to wait and see. And did you guys have a favorite commercial for the Super Bowls last night?
I did. Naked guy.
I had a couple that I liked.
Yes.
In the underwear.
Carl's Jr. on the beach.
Oh, yeah. She looked pretty good, didn't she?
Yeah.
Who was that model?
I don't know.
Was that Erin
Heather?
Oh, Carl's Jr. on the beach?
Yeah.
Oh, I know the one you're... I don't know her name. She's got a weird foreign last name.
I don't like fish much, but I would eat that sandwich
guy with the sunburned face. That
one.
I thought that was pretty impressive. Bean, what was yours?
I had two that I loved, and of course the Paul Harvey one. It won't surprise you, the Ram commercial with the farming speech. I loved that one so much, and that was number one.
I did too.
That was number one nationally with the ad meter with viewers too. And the second one I loved was the Clydesdale horse one with the guy who went to visit his horse when he was coming to town, and they had a reunion.
Yeah, my story says that was the number one favorite commercial for people watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
I don't have time.
All right.
But the good news is, while we're talking about commercials, that Kate Upton.
Yes.
Who was in that Mercedes-Benz ad last night.
Not enough, but go ahead.
Where they were washing her car. She's got a new gig, and I thought this was hilarious. It's just been announced that she is the new face of Sam Edelman Shoes.
A face for
thinking,
shoes?
You're going to sell shoes? What a waste. Whatever they're paying Kate Upton to be their spokesperson is a total waste because no one will ever see your shoes. How much time would you have to look at a picture of Kate Upton before you finally got down to
her
shoes?
That's true. That's true.
I could stare. If you give me a year and just have her on a wall and say, okay, what do you think of the shoes? Like, she's wearing shoes? Who knew? No idea. But yeah, she's got a new gig. So congratulations to Kate. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Alice Cooper is 65 years old today. Singer Clint Black is 51. Noodles from The Offspring celebrates his 50th birthday today.
He's the best.
Rob Corddry. We just had him in here.
He's the best.
He is the best. From Children's Hospital and Hot Tub Time Machine and, of course, Warm Bodies.
He was so good at Warm Bodies.
I've not seen it yet.
He stole it.
He's always good. He's always good. 42 years old today. The People's Champion, Oscar De La Hoya. Celebrates his 40th birthday today. Rick Burch, bassist of Jimmy Eat World, is 38. Natalie Imbruglia celebrates her 38th birthday as well. And singer Gavin DeGraw turns 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, you got Sam Cooke, who's going to punt it away here. And he booms this one. That takes the Bearcats free kick out of play. And it's Ken. Ken to the 40. Still on his feet at the 50. And the Ravens have won it. 34-31. The Super Bowl belongs to Baltimore.
Answer me this question about the Super Bowl yesterday. Does CBS have the most boring announcer team in football history?
They didn't bug me.
Oh, my God. They were deadly. And you never saw it more than when they had all that time to fill, by the way, with the power outage. Either, of course, the first half of the power outage, the guys up in the booth, Jim Nance and Phil Simms couldn't talk because their power was out.
Right.
But just in general, no energy, no excitement, no enthusiasm, not much insight. Boy, did it make me miss the teams on ESPN and NBC, I'll tell you that. And Fox, for that matter. All of them. Anybody but CBS. Well, God, they were deadly dull.
I didn't even notice that. I thought the game was deadly dull just because it was so lopsided in the first half.
Right.
Before Jim Harbaugh pulled the plug. And then once they plugged it back in and started it again, the 49ers came back. And then it was an interesting game. But the first half was super boring.
Let me ask you this. When the power went out, and it was one of the strangest things that I've ever seen in a sporting event, like how does something like that happen? But when the power went out, did it occur to you guys at all that it might potentially be a terrorist act?
No.
Not for
Was that
a
not even on your
second.
Radar?
No.
Because I was immediately very concerned about what was going to happen next. I just, maybe I've seen too many movies, but I was just terrified that something bad was going down.
You are
that
worst
was the
case
first
scenario thing. Guy.
Well, the power goes out and all of a sudden you expect Bane to show up. There's definitely trouble. But apparently it was something that was just power coming in from outside the stadium or something. It was a problem outside of the Superdome.
They try to not narrow in on one person, but there has to be one person that said, oops, right?
Sure. There had to be
one guy who went, wow, am I in trouble?
It was just the craziest thing, and I think forever, especially if Baltimore had ended up losing that game, there are people who would have thought that the conspiracy was, was in effect and that they were just getting frozen out. Because by the time the Baltimore offense took the field, because remember, the first half ended, then there was the halftime show, then they came back, and then there was, the 109-yard touchdown run, and then that's when the offense took the field, the Baltimore offense took the field after the 35-minute power outage. It had been like an hour and a half since they've been out on the field. That's long enough to freeze you.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if they had lost that,
who would have done that? The NFL?
I don't think anyone you know, I certainly don't think anyone did it intentionally, but I'm just saying it certainly could have been perceived. That could have lost. People would have forever said Baltimore lost that game because of the power outage.
Yeah,
because
there's
of
no
the,
way
because
to know,
of the momentum switch. Yeah, there's no way to know. Thank God they held on and we don't have that controversy. But man, that was one of the craziest things ever, wasn't it?
That was weird, yeah.
And it took a half hour for everything to get back to normal because the lights have to warm up. Is that
that's
that
part
the deal?
Of it, yeah. That's part of it. But they didn't even have the ability to turn it on for half of that time.
Wow.
Fortunately, I did get this clip from the game, and I thought this was one of the best moments of the whole day.
Now, Biscuit and Butterscotch are getting into the action. It's back and forth, and now it's anybody's toy.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was the I was the puppy bowl. I, that was a mistake. Yeah, I apologize.
Lights didn't go out on the puppy bowl.
I was watching them both, I guess. I was flipping back and forth. The puppy bowl was in a full
lights
effect.
Lights could have gone off during the puppy bowl, and no one would have noticed.
What happens to Ray Lewis now? What's he going to do? Because he's been on my TV 24/7 for the last 6 months. I don't think I'm going to miss him. I think I've heard enough from Ray Lewis. How
I'm
about
not a
you?
Ray Lewis fan. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, they say he's so polarizing. I think that's true. You either love him or hate him. If you've spent any time listening to him talk or, you know, following his career or anything. But he did an interview before the game about, I don't know if you know or not, but he was accused of double murder in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ended up a plea deal and paid the family some money and got out of it. And now everybody's still like, hey, what about those two deaths back there? What about that whole thing? And they did an interview with him, and I brought in a highlight of this. Just see if you can follow this reasoning.
The family of the incident in 2000, and I'm paraphrasing, but it goes something like this. While Ray Lewis is being celebrated by millions, two men tragically and brutally died in Atlanta. Ray Lewis knows more than Ray Lewis ever shared. What would you like to say to the families?
All right. What do you think he's going to start with?
He's going to say, Shannon, why do you talk so slowly?
Yeah.
Why did that question take so long to ask?
By the way, I edited that just so that it wouldn't, so we had time to play it.
Oh my
God. Took out all the spaces. That sped up.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
But then he comes.
It's simple, you know. God has never made a mistake.
God has never made a mistake. What does that have to do with the murdered families in 2000?
People get away with murder all the time.
That's just who he is, you see? And if our system took the time to really investigate what happened 13 years ago, maybe they would have got to the bottom line truth. To the family, if you really knew the way God works, he don't use people who commits anything like that.
All right, so what he's saying is he's God's mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Could he do that if he had killed two people?
Yes.
I don't think so.
No, yes, he could. Couldn't he? Yes.
Yeah, of course. But doesn't that just smack of really not answering the question?
At all.
Yeah.
But I mean, what a dodge.
Careful the way he speaks.
Oh, God's using me, and he's perfect, so that wouldn't happen if I was responsible for the murders.
It's kind of like the defense of I couldn't have molested those kids because I'm a priest.
Right.
Yes.
It's kind of the same sort of thing as kind of hiding behind God by saying I can't be guilty of anything you're accusing me of because I'm a religious person.
Yeah.
And I know we don't have any more time, but in the second half of the question that was asked about the family that he paid off, he's like, don't ask me about that family that I paid off. I've given money to thousands of families. I hope there's some follow-up on that fact, by the way, because that number seemed a little crazy to me.
Wouldn't you guess that he's given money to 10, 11, 12 families?
I think he's given money to families of everyone he's killed. I think that's what Ray Lewis has done, because that's God's way.
Well, he won the Super Bowl.
Yay.
Yeah, he did. He's going out a winner.
He is going out a winner.
Tell you how you can see Muse this Friday night in a tiny little room in moments. First, though, here on the Kevin Bean Show, like we do on Mondays, we welcome our old friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, good morning. What's going on in the newsroom today?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good.
Doing fine. Everybody buzzing about Beyonce? I would imagine that's going to be a big topic on the TV show today, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Were you unimpressed with Beyonce?
She's, you know, okay.
Wow. I thought she was terrific.
I'm not a fan of her music at all. But so I muted it, but I could look at her all day.
Well, yeah. No. I mean, look, she looked great, and, you know, she danced a lot for sure.
Sure. Yeah, there was very little singing, very little music on the whole halftime show.
Yeah.
Very little singing, and, you know, that's just an impossible situation. The sound quality isn't real good, especially for TV. And, I don't know, maybe it's better in the stadium, but, I don't know, she danced
a lot. You were underwhelmed.
Yeah, she danced a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody said yesterday after watching Beyonce at the halftime show, I don't know whether to go to the gym or masturbate. And I thought that really just kind of summed it up, doesn't it? You can't do both? All right. Well, let's talk about what's going on TMZ.com. Besides the very funny photo of Tom Brady golfing yesterday, and that's how he spent his Super Bowl Sunday, which I think is hilarious that you put that up. But give us the update in the couple of minutes that we have here on Justin Bieber circling the drain, because it seems like he's turning into the new Lindsay Lohan in that every day or two, you've got another story that involves him getting in some sort of trouble.
You know, it's so funny. I've been saying that for a week, and everybody in the room's been saying, no, come on. But that's exactly the way I'm seeing this thing. I mean, he's way more successful still. But, you know, he's hanging, and I want to qualify this. A lot of people in his life are saying that Justin's problem is that he's hanging out with the wrong people.
Right.
But he's also an adult, and he makes his own choices. But, it's just a combination of things. I mean, there are pictures that we got where, you know, now he's hanging around these guys, and there's this big bottle of Sizzurp right in the middle of the table, and there are double cups there. Now, he has insisted to people he never drank it, and, you know, the double cup was just to be cool, and none of the pictures show people drinking, but it's right there. And, you know, and he's alone in his car out to these guys, like Lil Twist and Lil Zaw, and they're wrecking the car, and they're
getting tickets,
and I don't know, you know, it's not as dire certainly as Lindsay Lohan,
but it'll get there soon, right?
I mean, I don't know.
I'd like to see it get dire.
I mean, none of it has been very serious. I mean, obviously the paparazzo death, he didn't have anything to do with. We can't pin that on him. But I mean, you're right. He is putting himself in situations that could escalate. There's no question about that. And there wasn't much made of it. But what about that thing the other day that you posted, him taking the photo with that fan and cupping her breast while he was doing so? I mean, that's the type of thing that just seems like he's asking for trouble.
Well, you know what? I've actually talk to people who have kind of run into him from time to time, and he's just desperately trying to act like what he perceives to be a cool adult.
Yeah.
And
but he's really, really not.
No. And that's the problem. I mean, he, A, is not cool, and B, is not really an adult. And, you know, and I think that he's trying so hard. And I think what he's trying to do, too, is to shake that image, you know, of, you know, the little boy who's singing to these little girls because he wants longevity, which I totally understand.
Sure, yeah.
But he's not making the transition, you know, nearly as well. I would say not nearly as well as Miley Cyrus.
I agree.
You know, I mean, I think Miley, you know, a lot of people have, you know, have taken shots at Miley, but I think she's done it pretty well.
She's just kind of stupid. He's a dick.
Yeah, I agree.
That makes a big difference to me.
Yeah,
but isn't there something that I mean? You could, there's a through line for all of these teen idols, and I don't care. You could be talking about Michael Jackson or Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber or any of them. They get into some sort of arrested development where they don't grow into adulthood easily because of how weird their lives are and the kinds of things that they do and places that they go and attention that they get. I mean, I think it is a difficult transition, Harvey.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think when you're 17 and you hit, it's way different than when you're 13 and 14 and you hit.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, because when you're 17, you're almost an adult anyway. And the funny thing is, when you really look back at a lot of the groups and the individual artists in the 60s and the 70s, a lot of them were like, you know, 17, 18, 19, and they were kind of at the adult stage. And it was a way easier for them to transition than to go from a little kid to an adult. And I just think that's really been hard for most of the people who are doing it.
And one of the stories, and then we'll let you go, that you posted, maybe people haven't even heard about yet, is a member of Justin's entourage demanding that a fan who took a photo of Justin in a Best Buy delete it from his phone. Now, why do something like that? Aren't you just creating a hassle if you do that?
Because you're a dick.
But if somebody gets a photo of Justin in a Best Buy, so what? Right, Harvey?
I mean, so what?
Right.
So what? Who cares? And it's not a paparazzo. It's a fan.
Right.
And an adult. I mean, that's wow. actually the weird part, right?
Yeah, yeah. Why did this guy want a photo of Justin Bieber, right?
We got to talk about one other thing.
Yes.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
You know the owner of the Atlanta Falcons?
I don't.
No.
He owns Home Depot.
Okay.
And
okay.
so he's getting divorced, and his wife just pulled the trigger yesterday. He's worth $1.3 million. And so they've worked out this property settlement. So we were joking around in the newsroom that the guy is so cheap. He hired the lawyers outside of Home Depot.
See what you did there? This guy's right outside my store.
You just pull up there with a truck. You got all the guys you want. That's very funny, Harvey. All right. TMZ.com following Justin, following the Home Depot hilarity and all the other stories. That's the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ television as well. Have a great week, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
We'll see you guys.
Thank you, Harvey.
All right, the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Muse is happening this Friday night. As you know, the Grammys air Sunday on CBS. If you are a Muse fan, we want to talk to you right now. What are we looking for this time? People who know Muse lyrics, I guess, right?
If you're good with lyrics, this will be your game.
1-800-520-1067. You can play coming up next here on the world famous. Actress Bianca Kailik joins us next hour here on the Kevin Amin Show from Rules of Engagement, Sarah Shahi later on today, and the medium, Char Margolis. That's a lot of shows still coming up. Right now, though, how about tickets to the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with the band Muse this Friday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live, 1-800-520-1067. It's time to play the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
How's this one play for the folks on hold and listening at home?
Well, we are going to read some lyrics. All you have to do is identify which Muse song it is, but the celebrities are going to do the reading. Christopher Walken is on the wheel. Al Pacino's on the wheel. Mumford, William Shatner, Donald Trump, Homer Simpson, wow. Arnold Schwarzenegger, David Hasselhoff, wow. Bob Dylan.
Wow. And all of these celebrities are here at the station ready to stand up to the mic?
It's sometimes difficult to arrange with their schedules, but
no,
yes.
Right here. The room's full of them. Look through the window. It's amazing to see so many people in one place.
What's Christopher Walken doing with his watch? That's weird. That's a strange thing to see.
Oh,
all right, let's spin the wheel then.
Timely Pulp Fiction reference.
Wait, do we spin the wheel first or do we talk to our caller first? No, I never remember how
Christ
this goes.
Sake.
I don't know. Hey, Arnold.
How are you doing, guys?
Good. Let's spin the wheel.
Oh, I thought Arnold was the celebrity.
Well,
I'm sorry. I was confused.
All the sound effects at once.
All right. It is William Shatner. William Shatner will be reading the lyrics for you. Arnold, you just have to tell us the name of the Muse song.
All right.
Cause good. I want it now. I want it now. Give me your heart and your soul. I'm breaking out. I'm breaking out. Last chance to lose. Control!
All right, Arnold, what Muse song is that, please?
Time Running Out.
Sorry, that's Hysteria.
All right, thank you, Bill Shatner, for stopping by. Contestant number two is online, too, and
that's
she
it.
Is...
I'm done?
Yes, yes,
I came all this way for that.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to spin. It might land on you.
Way for that?
It might land on you again.
I don't appreciate it.
Okay. Anna, welcome to the Wheel of Celebrities. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. Just... Cool, cold.
All right, listen up. Let's spin the wheel. Let's find out which celebrity is going to be reading Muse lyrics for you.
And it is Al Pacino.
Oh.
Al Pacino will now read lyrics. You have to tell us what the name of the Muse song is, Anna. Here we go.
No one's going to take me alive. The time has come to make things right. You and I must fight for our rights. You and I must fight. To survive. Oh.
Anna?
Knights of Sidonia?
Knights of Sidonia is correct, yes.
No one's gonna take.
Nice.
How you going the drawing? Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Pacino. Good to see you again, sir.
Ooh-ah.
Let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Here we go. Here's spin the wheel. You're going to get some lyrics written to you by a celebrity. This particular one is Mr. Bob Dylan.
Ew.
Bob Dylan.
So sorry in advance, Andrew.
Good luck with this, Andrew. Sorry.
Paranoia is in bloom. The PR transmissions will resume. They'll try to push drugs to keep us all dumbed down and hope that we never will see the truth around. So come on.
That was difficult, but it's uprising.
Uprising is correct, yes. Nicely done.
Bob, I actually understood every word that came out of your mouth. That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, you know, it's in and put it all in the same.
What?
It's only lyrics, I guess, that work.
Let's go to Martha. Right. Hello, Martha.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Wheel of Celebrities. Going to have to identify the Muse song. The lyrics will be read by Homer Simpson.
Oh, Homer.
Homer. Hi, Homer Simpson.
Here we go. Far away. This ship is taking me far away. Far away from the memories of the people who care if I live or die.
That's Starlight.
That is Starlight. Thank you.
Incredible. These are some great Muse fans. So far, we have three in the drawing to win this private show this Friday night at the Grammy Museum. Up next, contestant number five is Carissa. Hi, Carissa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi, hello.
Yep. Hi, hello. All right. You ready?
Yes.
Spin the wheel, see who's going to read the lyrics for you. And it is Mumford. Mumford and Sons is here. Or just Mumford, really. Sons, not so much, less.
Hi, Mumford. Good morning.
I think I'm drowning, asphyxiated. I want to break the spell that you've created. You're something beautiful.
Carissa?
Hi.
Title?
Gosh, that was a song. I didn't...
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean, it was Mumford's version.
What Muse song was he doing lyrics from?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even hear a word he said.
Mm. Sorry.
So you don't even want to guess?
Madness.
Sorry, his time is running out. Thank you, though.
I think we have, speaking of time is running out, I think we have time for just one more spin of the wheel for our next contestant, who is KB on line six. Hi, KB. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You ready for your celebrity?
I am.
All right. It is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Very nice. Here are your lyrics.
Oh, baby, don't you know I suffer? Oh, baby, can you hear me moan? You caught me under false pretenses. How long before you let me go?
Very appropriate lyrics for Arnold to be doing, by the way. It's a Muse song.
Said the man with no patience.
Wow. So disappointed with everybody.
Well, KB just sounds like he doesn't even know why he's here.
You're going to have to pick any Muse song.
It's slipping my mind.
That's my favorite song.
That is my favorite.
Supermassive Black. Baby, don't you know I
suffer. All right, well, thank you, Arnold, for stopping by, and thanks to all the celebrities for getting on down here. Anna, Andrew, and Martha, all in the drawing. Only one will go. Lisa, who's it going to be?
Anna is the winner.
Yay! Anna was our first contestant. Anna, congratulations.
Thank you.
Nicely done. You won the tickets.
Thank you.
And, and thanks for playing the game.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
So the 49ers had won every Super Bowl they'd ever gone to until yesterday. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show about Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans, coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
I really thought they were going to do it. I thought they were going to come back at the end.
Me too.
Which would have made it really much more interesting. You would be witnessing history then. No one had ever come back that much in a Super Bowl
22 down.
But that was the second half was fascinating once the lights went back.
Imagine the complaining that would have come from the Ravens, though, because they had all the momentum and then the lights went out.
Yeah, but they sat through the dark, too.
I know.
I mean, they both had to experience the same hardship, so you can't really say one had an advantage over the other.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the box office over the weekend to see what movies people were going to. Warm Bodies was the biggest choice. $19.5 million made it number one this weekend.
So Rob Corddry comes in on our show Friday. Boom, his movie's number one over the weekend. I think that's interesting.
Take note, Hollywood. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, was number two at the box office with just a little under $10
million. Gemma Arterton comes in.
Yeah.
And that's right. Boom, that movie was number one that weekend. That's right.
Silver Linings Playbook. Anything? Anything?
Yeah, no one will come on our show from that movie.
No.
I've watched Bradley Cooper before. Boom!
Mama.
Saw that.
Mama.
You promised not.
Fifth was Zero Dark Thirty. Bullet to the Head, the new Sylvester Stallone film, opened up with $4.5 million, making it number six this weekend. Parker was seventh. Django Unchained, Les Mis, and Lincoln running at your top ten at the box office this weekend. Khloe Kardashian, all 8'7" of her. was on Bravo over the weekend, a show called Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Are you familiar with this cat?
He
does a talk show. It's a humorous talk show where he has guests on and they talk about stuff.
I've not seen it.
She was on there. I don't know why she was selling, but I'm sure it was something. When the subject of Chris Humphries came up, her brother-in-law. Of course, the basketball player is still married to Kim Kardashian.
Love it.
And she went off saying Chris Humphries is delusional, fame-hungry, and gross. To which I would say, kettle, meat pot. Delusional, fame-hungry, and gross are the exact three phrases I use to describe Khloe Kardashian.
That's
almost
correct.
Every day. So. She also says she pretends not to know them when they run into each other at Clippers games. You know, she said Clippers now because Lamar, of course, is a Clipper.
Sure.
She wouldn't say Lakers games.
No.
No, God forbid. Speaking of delusional, Amanda Bynes back in the news. I've missed Amanda.
It has been a week.
Yeah. She apparently had to move out of her apartment last Friday after management threatened to evict her. You can't fire me. I quit. Pretty much is what she said. Here was the problem. Amanda lives in a smoke-free building in New York City. However, the neighbors were complaining that she enjoyed smoking pot and cigarettes morning, noon, and night. You'd see just clouds of smoke billowing out from under her door.
Hmm.
So they were going to evict her. She left. One source tells Us Weekly magazine that when they went into the vacated apartment, they found it was littered everywhere with butts from Marlboro Lights and Q-tips.
Q-tips.
The butts I get.
Yeah.
How is she burning through so many Q-tips? What's going on with her ears?
What do people use Q-tips for anyway?
I've never heard of someone cleaning their ear with a Q-tip. Her parents are very concerned about their daughter, so they moved into a hotel there in New York City to be near her to try to help. Sounds like she's got some real issues.
Yes, it does.
That's sad. Congratulations to Coco Brown. You may know her from such films as Big Booty Bomb 2.
I see that one.
She's an adult film actress who is currently in training to be the first porn star in space.
Okay.
There is a Dutch company that for $100,000 will send you up on their first mission, which is expected to be sometime later this year.
Is this solo porn, or are they getting another $100,000 together?
Well, she doesn't think she's actually going to do any porn in space.
Well, then
she's
what?
Just going to be a porn star in space.
Point of that?
To be the first porn star in space, I guess.
Huh.
There's already been Weightless Sex. In 1999, there was a porn movie that did a 20-second intercourse scene in weightless conditions.
Love it.
They filmed it on the Vomit Comet, one of those planes that takes you up and does the parabola so that you're floating for 20, 30 seconds at a pop.
Yep.
And right. That's where they shot that, so it's not unheard of. But she'll be the first one actually to leave the atmosphere. No other porn star. She's going to go where no porn star has gone before. So, all our thoughts and wishes are with you, Coco Brown. Godspeed. It looks like we have a new Johnny Depp movie to look forward to. That guy should work more.
He should.
He's never in any movies anymore. Oh, wait, he's in every movie.
What'd you guys think of the extended trailer for Lone Ranger they showed you?
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. It looks great.
Too, yeah.
I think it looks fun.
Looks great.
Johnny Depp apparently has signed on to play legendary gangster turned FBI informant Whitey Bulger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed. The film will be called Black Mass. Starts filming in May. It's based on the book of the same name by a pair of Boston Globe reporters who followed the case. Bulger became an FBI informant in order to take down a rival mafia family, only to be double-crossed by the government and prosecuted himself. Barry Levinson is set to direct the film. So,
all right.
Could be good. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gavin DeGraw is 36 years old today. Natalie Imbruglia celebrates her 38th birthday. Rick Birch, bassist for Jimmy Eat World, is 38. Oscar De La Hoya, one-time champ, is 40 years old. Rob Corddry, speaking of warm bodies, he's in that film, 42 years old. Noodles from The Offspring celebrates his 50th birthday. Country singer Clint Black is 51. And Alice Cooper, welcome to my nightmare. That's what I say every morning when I walk here into the Kevin and Bean Show. He is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Super Bowl Monday. By the way, the early numbers, the overnight metered market numbers are starting to come in, Kevin, suggesting that the Super Bowl was the highest rated one in history yesterday.
Wow, no kidding.
Now that may adjust, of course, as more data becomes available. But that last half hour when it was anybody's game and all the interest that was drummed up because of the power outage and everything, a lot of people maybe ordinarily wouldn't even tune in, heard about the power outage and probably said, "What's this about?" Right? Matt Money Smith, our friend from the Petrus and Money Radio Show, survived a week in New Orleans. He is back now. Hey, Money.
Yeah, survived is a relative term, I
think.
You all right? You okay?
I don't know if I'm in the clear yet. I think I've got to make sure some of this stuff gets out of my system.
That city will kill you on a regular weekend. Super Bowl week, it's too much, right? It's just sensory overload.
In the studio there tried to kill me when we were there the last time for a Super Bowl in 2001. Or
I did?
Yeah, you did. Oh, you don't remember that?
Oh, I remember parts of it.
Yeah, how about I have three words for you. Flaming Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, that's where.
Oh, there you go. Now it's coming back.
Right to the airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way,
right out of a bar to our airplane in the morning.
Dear God.
Yeah. And Kevin still recommends the Flaming Dr. Pepper to anyone who will listen. Whoever's going to New Orleans, that's always the tip for them.
Yeah, so, never mind. I had to get a defibrillator and life.
Well, the mouth was really nice. I just want to say that.
So it looked like it might have been a runaway. It looked like, you know, when it was, what was it, 28-6 or something like that at one point in the third quarter, it looked like, well, this is getting kind of boring. But then God or someone stepped in and pulled the plug. What did you make of that? What were you thinking yesterday when the power went out? Did it ever occur to you that maybe they were going to end up having to not finish the game?
No. I thought it was awkward, and guys that are used to reading off prompter and have a scripted show, you know, I get it. Everyone was kind of making fun of Tasker and Solomon Wilcots and the studio guys because they didn't know what to do but report on a power outage.
Right.
They don't know anything about power outages. But I thought Twitter did it's one of the great things about Twitter, you know. I think everyone was looking at their timelines, and you were getting enough information in there. Oh, it's not the energy company. It's a power. It's a circuit board. They're working on, you know, and it seemed like we were getting enough to know what was happening. It's weird, you know. It's so different. That's kind of how we consume our information now. But, you know, and then you had the, you know, you had somebody at CBS, you just said it, I think somebody, somebody at CBS Sports said our video stream online at CBSSports.com had nearly 50% more viewers during the power outage and after it than they did before. So that's why all those people came, and that's probably why it was the highest rated Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wish it would have happened with, you know, during that 108-yard run back. I wish it would have happened right in the middle of that. Lights go out. Yes, I mean, what do you do as a ref?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what's remarkable about it is that it did not happen in the middle of a play.
Right.
Right.
You know,
totally.
What do you do? You know, what happens to that play? What's the outcome of that play? Like you said, if it's a touch, you know, if it's a special teams touchdown, do you have to call it back? It is. They're very fortunate that it happened the way it did.
Now, I have a question for you that may be a little, not to mix metaphors here, a little inside baseball, because I really didn't understand the obscure rule that they were talking about near the end of the game. So we're in the final seconds, and of course we saw that intentional touchback, I guess, to burn off like 7 seconds in the clock. Essentially, Baltimore gave San Francisco 2 points on purpose.
Right.
And then they had a kickoff, and they were talking about some sort of a rule where there's a fair catch after a safety, and then you get to take a free kick. But it wasn't really explained well enough to me to understand what they were trying to do.
Yeah, they really didn't do a good job of explaining it. I'll be honest with you.
Well, it's used so rarely, right?
Right.
So, but that's why you have competent people in the booth. I was saying earlier that I thought the CBS team was deadly dull calling the game yesterday. Yeah, I don't know how you felt about it, Muddy, but
Phil Sims,
they were.
You know, I was yelling at the TV actually. Phil Sims, when Jim Nantz brought it up, what do you think about taking a safety here? And a safety, you know, you give the team 2 points, but then you get to kick off from your own 20. It's not a kickoff, ball teed up, booted out of the end zone. It's a free kick, which is essentially a punt. A form of a punt. So instead of explaining why, when he answered Jim Nantz, no, I wouldn't do that, he just let it sit there.
Yeah.
And people are like, what the hell is he talking about?
I was one of those. I was lost, I'll tell you that. So what could have happened? How could it have played out differently and given the 49ers that free kick?
Here's what Phil Sims should have said. I wouldn't do it because that makes it a 3-point game. And because it's not a kickoff but a punt, we've already seen this punter shank a punt in this game. Now you give them a short field. Now all they need is a field goal. David Akers connected on a 63-yard field goal this year. I don't think I want to put my team in that position. I'd rather have the 5-point lead, force them to make the touchdown. My counterargument to that would be, if there's one thing Colin Kaepernick has, it's a giant arm.
Yeah.
So now you're punting out of your end zone. You're up by 5. A touchdown beats you, and it's likely the 49ers have the ball at midfield, or even worse, they have a dynamic return man in Ted Ginn Jr. because you're punting out of your own end zone and they're sending everyone at you. You got to get that thing away quick. And he gets that ball to the 30, to the 25 because, you know, it's not a great punt. So that was the debate that should have been had. Now, what happened was John Harbaugh agreed with, well, you know, he agreed with me, you know, to take the safety because now you're up three, but you get to kick the ball as hard as you possibly can from that 20-yard line.
From 12 yards in the end zone.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, here's where the free kick comes in. And tell me if you're losing me at all. If, because it's a punt and not a kickoff, right, the player can wave his hand, catch the ball, not advance it, and zero time goes off the clock.
So there's four seconds left in the game when that happens, right. And so he can put up his arm for a fair catch.
Exactly.
And then they get another play.
And then they get a play.
Why didn't he do that?
Well, because he was too deep.
Oh. He was too deep.
Booted the cookbook, you know, just knocked the hell
out
of
the ball. It would have been like 70 yards or something, right?
That was like a home run or strikeout swing, to continue with your baseball metaphor. I mean, that thing was either going to get booted as deep as it was, or he was going to miss it and it was going to be ugly.
So what the whole game boiled down to, as crazy as it was with the huge Baltimore lead and then the astonishing 49ers come back, and I got give a lot of credit to the 49ers and to Kaepernick. I mean, he was amazing. What it came down to was what got Baltimore to the Super Bowl in the first place, which was their unbelievable defense, and they were able to hold, you know, basically a couple of yards out, and with four tries, San Francisco couldn't get in. And that would have given them the lead had they been able to do that. I mean, that's what the whole game boiled down to, is just holding them there in the last minute of the game.
Well, and it's funny you use the word hold, because that's what Jim Harbaugh was using after the game.
He's going to die of an aneurysm soon,
really,
right?
Is.
That dude.
Yeah, it's funny too, you know. I mean, and you saw, you know, people that I know in the game, you know, say that John Harbaugh might be even worse than Jim.
I thought when he was yelling about the power outage.
Oh, wasn't that great? I said, I don't know. I sent a tweet out when it happened. I said, as bad as that guy in the suit's wearing it, whoever the kid is that works for that guy is really going to get it bad, because, you know, he's just going to transfer it onto that fourth.
But he looked like a child. He was throwing his headphones and screaming and jumping up and down and stomping. It was really great.
Yeah, well, and I guess it's, you know, I have no idea what he was yelling at the guy about, but obviously I'm sure the guy's response is, hey, I didn't decide to have the transformer blow.
What do you want?
It's completely out of my hands. All right, our remaining moments, this is the voice of Matt Money Smith from the Petrus and Money radio show here on Kevin and Bean this morning. Your take, you've watched enough football, called enough football. Do you think there should have been a holding call at the end of the game there? I don't.
No, you know, because here's why. You know, the one thing you want from officials is a consistent game. And consistently, they allowed those cornerbacks and the receivers to be physical with one another. Mm-hmm. So because it had happened, you know, the prior 58 minutes, you can't all of a sudden decide, well, it's a critical play, we got to call it. No, those guys had been mugging each other that way the entire game. And that goes both ways. And I think that's where Harbaugh, you know, is wrong to address it in the manner that he addressed it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he had said, hey, look, you know, all game long, there's a lot of PI calls out there. I think we had two the whole game. You know, where did my PI call go here? Well, no. You know, those guys got to beat the snot out of each other on the outside. And this was just, you know, another part of that. It's just
and I know that it's not a factor, but, I mean, just in terms of what if, I don't think he would have caught that ball anyway.
No, I don't think
I still think it was too high anyway, so I don't think it would have made a difference even if the other player hadn't, quote-unquote, interfered.
Yeah. I'll say this. I think he would have had – he's a big guy. Crabtree's got some of the best hands, real strong hands. You might have been able to see a – Santonio Holmes, Pittsburgh Steelers versus Arizona Cardinals type catch, where he could extend.
That would have been awesome.
Keep the toes in. I mean, it wasn't too far out that you couldn't, you know, where it wouldn't have put it this way. It would not have been ruled uncatchable.
I agree. I agree.
So
overall, were you satisfied with the game, Matt?
Absolutely. I thought it was great. It was, you know what, and I guess just to kind of stick up for the city, I'm sad that they had the power outage, because it's such a great city. They are, you know, just wonderful people down there. They put on a great week, and all people are going to say about New Orleans is stupid, stadium and it's stupid power outage.
When the power outage happened, I texted Little Hatchet. I was going to get me a TV, but then that didn't come to fruition. So that sucks.
Was anyone trying to loot in the Superdome? Did you hear money?
I think they maintain composure, but that's because they're a bunch of rich white people from giant corporations that are sitting there.
Exactly. Somebody tweeted that all the rich 49ers fans had the lower deck, and then the middle seats were all the Ravens fans, and then the upper deck was Honey Boo Boo's family. So I don't know what was going on there. Are you going to get a nap before your show today? You're going to survive being on the air all afternoon, money? You sound like hell.
We'll make it work, man. We'll make it
all
work.
All right.
You know, like I said, two days of cleansing. That's all I need.
Exactly. Well, Matt Money Smith from the Pet Trips Money Radio Show. Catch him weekday afternoons at AM 570 on Fox Sports Nationwide. Hey, thanks for joining us, dude.
Absolutely, man.
So I'm watching the Super Bowl. It's on CBS yesterday, and I see this face that's vaguely familiar to me standing in a superhero costume in the middle of an office while David Spade is taking pervy photos of her on an iPhone. And I thought, that's Bianca, all right. That's our girl Bianca. Bianca Kiley joins us from Rules of Engagement here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Bianca.
Good morning.
How weird was that for you to be watching the Super Bowl and see yourself
in a cape?
It was awesome. You know, it was really funny. That wasn't even planned to be one of the promos. But they had some other bit they were going to do, and they ended up not doing it. And Wardrobe was like, why don't you just go put this outfit on and go out there and just be funny?
Really?
As a joke. I think Athira was supposed to wear it originally.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, we're the same size. And,
that's nice.
And so I went out, and they were like, oh, this is so funny. Let's do something. And then it ended up being the thing they used.
You know what's funny is that so much thought and planning goes into commercials for the Super Bowl, and you guys are like, try this on.
Ringing it.
See how that goes.
I know.
Well, it was nice to see your face on my TV, and it's nice to finally have Rules of Engagement coming back. It seems like it's been off for like 8 months or something. How long has it been since the show was on the air?
I was just trying to think about that. I think the last it was like April maybe or May. So
wow, so yeah. It really has been that long.
It
okay.
has been long. Because we were mid-season, so, you know, we have to wait for it to come
so
back.
So season 7 premiered tonight. Let's get the information out first. The Rules of Engagement is back at 8:30 tonight on CBS. Now, is this the last season, or we don't know?
We don't know, but it's okay. Likely that it is. Yes, we're all out of contract, and, you know, CBS has been great to us, but I think, you know, every show has its time to move on to the big show graveyard in the sky. So.
Right.
Is that how it works?
I guess.
Show graveyard. So since the last time we had you on the Kevin and Bean Show, you went off and got married.
I did.
What a
dick
that guy is.
And you chose poorly. Yeah. And you were on your husband's show, and it's still weird to think of Mike as anyone's husband, because I wouldn't wish that on any poor woman. Absolutely, yeah. You were on Loveline last night with him. Is that weird? Does he try to get you to talk about like sexy time stuff?
I'm always a little nervous, like when we're heading there, and I kind of have to lay down the law, because there's things that I think, you know, there's no filter on that guy's mouth,
yeah.
Right? So things will come out, and it's been kind of a work in progress for us, for me to say sometimes, like, I don't really like it when you say things like that.
Is that strong enough for him? Because we said that all the time. It didn't make any difference.
Yeah, but he has to be with me for the rest of his life. So, yeah, it is. I mean, he's respectful and listens.
He's not good with rules, though.
No.
I mean, he's just like I am, and that is, if you tell me not to talk about something, now I have to talk about it.
Well, the best.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't have a choice.
The best is, the hardest for him is when we're with his friends that he grew up with, because that's just, I mean, that's who he is. I don't want him to not be who he is, but I also want there to be a level of mystery about our relationship. And I'll see them say something, you know, and I look over and it's like the cartoon character Red Face with steam coming out of the ears. Like he's just biting the whole back.
Oh, man.
Now, you told producer Dave when you came in, Bianca, that there's something going on with Mike and his dog, and I'm terrified to even phrase the question that way because I know how much Mike loves his dog. But what's happening?
Oh, no, not his dog. We decided we went down to an orphanage in Tijuana to volunteer for the day on Saturday.
In Tijuana? We don't have any orphanages here?
we decided to go, but, you know, back to Michael's roots. And,
sure. Did they keep him?
They wanted to, especially after he was farting on all the kids. So not surprised.
Like, the kids don't have it hard enough without a bad American coming in and farting on them. Come on.
An orphanage or Tijuana, yeah. And then Mike's unleashing holy hell.
And by the way, there also is probably half the little boys in the orphanage doing the Hito dance this morning because Mike taught them.
Oh, no.
Hito Rick? Nice.
Hito Rick.
So you and Mike woke up on Saturday and said, hey, what do you want to do today, honey? I don't know. Let's drive down to Tijuana and hang out in an orphanage? What's going on with you people?
Exactly. You know, just trying to do our part, give back. But we went down there, and one of the kids had a little chihuahua, and she had it wrapped up in her shirt. When we were leaving, Mike went to go say goodbye and hug her, and the chihuahua attacked.
All right.
And poor old Mike has a big old fat lip.
Oh my God!
Got bit in the face.
Bit in the face. Oh, I looked at him. We were boarding the bus to go back, and he's just bleeding profusely from his mouth. I mean, you might want to go get that looked at.
When we get across the border.
Yes. Don't tell anyone. I bumped my head playing soccer.
I thought there would be some sort of a Chihuahua network where they would, you know, spread the word that Mike was cool because Mike loves Chihuahuas.
Yeah. I know.
But they're very protective, and they're really. Yeah. Like one person.
Chihuahuas don't speak the same language down there, B.
No.
Oh, that's what it is, yeah. Okay. I'm going to get the gringo. All right, Rules of Engagement return tonight for Season 7 premiere at 8:30 on CBS. The beautiful Bianca Kailik is here. We'll take a break, come back with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, if you want to talk to dead people in your life, our friend Shar Margolis is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. She's a medium, don't you know? She's on the way. And also the beautiful Sarah Shahi joins us later on today as well. Right now, Bianca Kailik in studio with us. We're talking about Rules of Engagement returning for Season 7 tonight at 8:30 on CBS. Bianca, people probably have asked you this before. I apologize. But what's the secret to how David Spade gets all the chicks? I mean, seriously, guys look at David Spade and go, he's so smarmy. How could anyone? And then the girls apparently just love this guy.
Yeah, well, he isn't smarmy in person. I mean, not when you are an active part of his life. And he's really lovely. I mean, he's going to hate me for saying that, but he really is. I mean, he's just such a genuine, sweet soul. And I think that it's so rare that guys are kind of like that these days. You know, I mean, you've got guys who...
But is he the kind of a genuine sweet soul enough that he should get a different playmate every week? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I think, like, a lot of girls are very starved for attention. And when you have a guy that is just so good at focusing on you and being, you know, lovely and supportive and sweet, and he listens, and he's, oh my God, he's just going to kill me.
I'm killing his reputation. No.
I'm sensing here that you married the wrong guy.
It sounds like it. Wow.
It's possible. I also think we talked about last night on Loveline. I also think he probably isn't hurting in the pants. So
right.
I've always gotten
that impression.
Yes. Interesting.
Yes. You don't have any more information than that?
I don't. I don't.
She's lying.
So if you know him in person, he's a different guy than the slime balls he always plays on television.
Yes.
That's the answer. Yeah. I see. And do people, because you guys are couples on the show, have people always thought that you and Oliver Hudson should be together in real life? Did you ever hear that from folks?
From everyone on our set.
Because you do seem like an adorable couple together.
Oh, I've known Ollie for so long. And, you know, we were on Dawson's Creek together. And we do. I mean, we have great chemistry. And I think you can't fake that. And we're very fortunate for that. I want to kill him sometimes. But
Do you feel like you married the wrong guy?
Are you not going to be happy until Bianca leaves crying?
I'm just trying to sense what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, Patrick Warburton used to say that Ollie and I are like siblings from Arkansas that want to screw each other.
Okay. All right. Is that good?
No. Okay.
No.
But you're getting married this coming season? Is that the rumor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. And there's a baby, and there's... you know, I really feel like, I know everybody always says this, I really feel like this was our best season. We had the most fun. I feel like the writing really, really got to the best place. And so I'm excited about it.
Well, I know you've developed quite a fan base over the many seasons. Do you get do people still write fan mail, or do you get a lot of people who reach out to you that propose to you over Twitter, or how does it work fans in the 21st century?
I think with Twitter now, that's really kind of curbed a lot of the letters. Although, still a lot of letters from prisons. That's,
yes, all right,
because that's all they can.
Are you still healthy and alive?
You're popular in prisons, are you?
It would seem, yes.
Do you ever write back to people that write to you? I'm not talking about the prisoners, but in general, if people send you fan mail, do you write back?
I have. You know, I am so lazy. I have such a problem getting myself to the post office, and I do not have an assistant. So I actually just came across a pile of letters that I had written people back and put postage on everything.
But didn't mail them?
Oh, sweet. Isn't that so awful? Yeah.
So everybody just know that she reads them and she loves them. And
yeah.
She wrote you a letter.
I did.
And put a stamp on it, but didn't mail it.
Assume that's you.
Yes.
So what do you think if, you know, we don't know whether this is going to be the last season or not, as you said, but the goal is to go out and do more television. You want to hopefully transition into another show then?
Yeah. I mean, I would do movies or TV. It seems like these days it's easier. And sometimes, by the way, a lot of the TV shows that are on now are better than doing some of the great movies.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
We've got such great stuff out there now. So you can get really juicy, awesome roles, and you get to experience evolving a character over time as opposed to, you know, in a 2 to 6 month period on a movie set. So that's very enticing. So we'll just see, you know.
I would just think being on a series for an actor, I mean, you don't have to travel.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, you can live in your own house, and
yeah,
it's generally a shorter week, shorter days than doing a movie, and
yeah,
you know, and then you get paid for the rest of your life for being on it. It's like a sweet deal.
Well, it's just a little more grueling because instead of, you know, 2 to 6 months of intense work, you're 8 to 9, and that can get, especially for,
yeah, that's true,
people who are a lead where you are working 16-hour days. I mean, really, the hours are very similar to movies, so.
Hmm.
Still,
but there's
still
no traveling, and you got that going on.
Yeah, so. Unless you have to move to another city.
Move to another city. So what are you looking for? Anything in particular?
Oh, gosh.
What kind of role?
I'd love to do something dramatic. That's where I, you know, kind of thrived before Rules, and it's been awesome doing comedy for 7 years. But I'm kind of ready to go back and find something a little gritty and get a little dirty.
All right. Well, we've got agents listening, so maybe they'll hook you up. You're never going to count on your husband, Mike Catherwood, supporting you, though, right? You know that he's a dead end.
Oh, that's a terrible thing to say.
Right. Oh, they said it to him when he was here.
So it's terrible.
They just ran him down.
It's terrible to say does not mean that it's not true.
I'm just saying you better continue to be the breadwinner is all I'm saying. Yeah.
Do you know what?
You're the responsible one.
He will make the hottest house husband a girl has.
Sure.
There you go.
He's cute when he tries. That's all we need to know about Mike.
The man can wear an apron.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. In 10 words or less, as Beer Mug likes to say, sell us on Rules of Engagement. Coming back for season 7 tonight at 8:30 on CBS. Why should we watch?
Hey, it's been on for 7 seasons. That's got to say something.
So it
right?
must be good. That's all you need to know.
It was 12. If you had, that's got to say something. But no one's counting.
Yes. Thanks,
Bianca,
guys.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Ralph Garman is here every hour about this time for a look at the showbiz beat, and that includes right now here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Because it is Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see this weekend. Warm Bodies was number one. A little under $20 million made it.
Yeah,
so.
What's up?
Yeah, indeed, zombies. Zombies rule. Hansel and Gretel, The Witch Hunters, came in at number two. Silver Linings Playbook, Mama, and Zero Dark Thirty were the top five. Then Bullet to the Head, the new Stallone film, only made $4.5 million.
Oh, that's the new Sarah Shahi film.
I know. I think we needed more Sarah, less Stallone.
There you go.
That was the problem with the recipe. Parker was seventh. Django Unchained, Les Mis, and Lincoln running out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Hey, Rob, speaking of zombies, and they're hotter than they've ever been with The Walking Dead on TV and now the Warm Bodies, what did you think of the Brad Pitt movie preview yesterday during the Super
World
Bowl for
War
his zombie
Z?
Movie? Yeah. How great does that look?
Looks
very, awesome.
Very elaborate.
Very exciting.
Speaking of Super Bowl, of course, it was last night, and where there's a Super Bowl, there's the Parents Television Council sitting on the edge of their chairs with pens and paper and...
What can we complain about?
Instamatic cameras from the late 70s and Polaroids and just trying to capture something that might offend them. So desperate to be offended.
Yep.
They found one thing.
What's that?
Apparently Joe Flacco, when he won the Super Bowl, was hugging his teammate Marshall Yanda and said, "This is effing awesome."
That he did. That happened.
And it was picked up by a CBS microphone, and now the Parents Television Council and its lunatic leader, Tim Winter, are demanding that the FCC come down with the fists of God on CBS for allowing such filth to go out over the airwaves.
I'm sorry if I misunderstood this, but they already ruled on this, didn't they?
The accidental F-bomb.
Fleeting expletives,
yes.
Yeah.
But why, I agree with you guys, but why don't they have a 7-second delay and have somebody who is available to dump that?
They have a delay during the halftime show, and they have a delay during the post broadcast wrap up, but they believe the event itself should be carried live, and I agree with them 100%. Here's what Tim Winter had to say. Despite empty assurance after empty assurance from broadcast networks that they would never air indecent material, especially during the Super Bowl, it has happened again.
Ugh.
He goes on to rattle his saber and demand somebody's head. And to which
F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word.
F word, F word. Go F word yourself, Tim. And, of course, the commercial is always a big part of the Super Bowl. The people have weighed in. Here's what some people are saying. We're the best commercials of the Super Bowl. Budweiser's Brotherhood commercial about the man who raises a Clydesdale pony from a little four-legged, little weak creature. And then they reunited in Chicago during a parade. It was a very touching commercial. People liked that. A lot of people liked Mercedes-Benz Soul spot featuring Willem Dafoe as the devil trying to get that guy to get the Mercedes. That was a very funny spot. A lot of people like
Kate Upton was in that one, Kevin.
Yes, she was.
Like Tide's Miracle Stain spot where Joe Montana's face spontaneously appears on a guy's jersey when he spills some salsa on it and he makes a shrine out of it.
That's right.
Yeah. And I guess second only to the Budweiser commercial was the Kia Space Babies commercial about the man trying to come up with an elaborate idea to tell his kids where babies come from. And it's about little baby astronauts landing on Earth, and they're all little baby animals and spacesuits and stuff. Everybody loved that. The one commercial everyone can unanimously say was the worst was that freaking farmer commercial.
Yeah. Loved it.
Of course, Bean loved it.
And just some old dude just talking about farmers over pictures of hay bales for about 4 hours. I think it was the only 4-hour commercial in the entire broadcast.
I think it was almost 2 minutes. But what's
freaking
wrong?
Freaking hideous.
First of all,
deadly,
I don't know what it has to
dull.
Horrible, I don't know what it has to do with cars.
Horrible commercial for trucks, which the tagline was, for the farmer in all of us. F you. There's no farmer in me. Take your truck and stick it up your ass. Oh.
Yeah,
what's wrong with a little love for the hardworking men and women of America who farm?
Stop pretending that
what's
that's
wrong?
A thing.
I'm not pretending anything. I'm just saying, what's wrong with that?
It was a horrible commercial with some old dude just rambling on about farmers. For those of you who missed it, here's a little taste of the farmer commercial, and I think you can get a sense why Bean liked it so much.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need someone who will work with dirt all day, go to his local bar, get loaded up on cheap beer,
that's
come home and rough up his wife.
That's not
so
how
God
it went at all.
Made a farmer. God said, I need somebody who after 14 showers will still smell like horse.
Nope,
so God made a farmer.
This is it.
God said, I need someone with very little regard for dental hygiene who will think of a book as only something to be used to prop up the short leg of his still. So God made a farmer.
This is from the show, Bean.
And God said, I need somebody who, after a pint of moonshine, will take a look at his sheep and say,
nope.
Damn,
stop
that sheep has a really sweet ass.
Stop the tape. That's
and
not the ad.
He will the sheep.
Come on.
So God made a farmer.
Yeah.
How come the Parents Television Council isn't all over that one?
That
Bean
is surprising.
Liked that so much.
Yeah. Well, no wonder.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Alice Cooper, 65 years old today. Clint Black is 51. Noodles from Offspring is 50. Rob Corddry, who stars in the hottest movie in America this week, 42 years old. Oscar De La Hoya is 40. Rick Burch of Jimmy Eat World is 38. Natalie Imbruglia is 38 as well. And Gavin DeGraw celebrates his 36th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The beautiful Sarah Shahi joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're very excited to welcome back our friend Char Margolis, who joins us. Char.net. Am I the only one applauding? Come
yes,
on,
you
people.
Are.
Give
sorry,
it up. Char Margolis. Come
wait,
on.
Wait a minute. I'll applaud for myself.
Okay. Thank you, Char. I appreciate that.
Maybe the angels are applauding in heaven. Who knows? But thank you so much. It's always an honor to be on with you guys, truly, and I appreciate it.
Even though we're
it.
Not big believers.
That's okay.
All right.
You know, look at it. The bottom line is, If I were to choose to be friends with somebody who was kind and a good person and not a believer, I'd rather be friends with them than somebody who's a believer and not a nice person.
Yeah.
Well said.
It's the truth.
Char's referring to the fact that she is an internationally renowned psychic medium, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. But you also have something else going on. You got a new book that is out about love karma.
Right.
And is this just using your intuition to make better romantic choices? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, we live in a physical world and we live in an energetic world. And what people don't really work hard enough at is understanding the energetic world.
Mm-hmm.
And we get gut feelings, we get thoughts, we'll meet someone and maybe we'll be attracted to them sexually but a gut feeling says, don't go there, it's not a good idea, but you do it anyway. The time proves that you suffer the consequences and you go, you know, I should have gone with that first gut feeling. But there's so many different layers to this, because a lot of times people have a tendency to attract themselves to the parent that they couldn't fix or get approval from.
Right.
The same kind of energy. So they keep repeating this habit over and over and over again. So what we want to do is find healthy relationships. We want to go with our intuition, because we're all guided. We all have guardian angels. We all have spirit guides. We all have loved ones who have passed over to the other side who only want the best for us. So we have a responsibility. The one thing that really, that just, you know, like is interesting to me is that when people say, oh, I'm a skeptic. But the truth is, most things in life are not predestined. We create our destiny by the choices we make.
Right. But let me ask you a question about your gut, because you're talking about trusting that first instinct.
Right.
Your first instinct, a lot of times, can be really wrong.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It depends on if you understand what your gut feeling is. Do you understand what your true gut feeling is?
I think you don't understand specifically, but when you're talking about you meet somebody and you go, I don't know, I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah.
Sometimes those people can turn out to be great.
You know, that's true. That is true.
All right, don't get the book. Are we agreed on that or right? I'm sorry. I don't know.
But that is true. That can happen. And I'll tell you why I think sometimes that happens.
Okay.
I don't think it happens a lot, but I think sometimes it happens because we knew this person in a past lifetime, and they've been brought into this lifetime.
I wondered how long it was going to take for the crazy to get here.
to make up for what we didn't complete with that soul in a past life.
Okay.
Are you talking about reincarnation, sure?
Yeah, I am.
I could meet a woman today, and she is somebody that I might have known in a different, like 400 years ago.
Yeah, it's possible you knew these guys. You work with them every day. There's probably unfinished business that we have with many souls and many people, and that's why we keep coming back. We keep coming back till we fulfill our karma and we get it right.
I would not be working with them again if I had worked with them the first time. Come on, Char. I do learn from my mistakes. This book, Love Karma, Use Your Intuition to Find, Create, Nurture Love in Your Life. You talk a lot about soulmates, about looking for soulmates, and everybody's looking for soulmates. Why is it you think, Char, most relationships don't go the distance? Most people who get married end up getting divorced. Most people you end up dating, you end up breaking up with. Why is that?
Let's talk about statistics. Okay. Statistics show that 50%, at least 50 or 51% of marriages end up in divorce in this day and age. What I think for a couple reasons. Number one, people are living much longer lives than we lived, 200 years ago or whenever they started the marriage vows, thousands of years ago. But the bottom line is that we have people that we've met in our lives, and we have a purpose with them. And hopefully we make right choices with them, and then we fulfill our karma with them, and then we move on to the next one. Now, my parents were married for 45 years. My sister's been married for 54 years, I think it is. And my other sister's been married for 35 years. So, there are people but you know what? It's not easy. You have to really work at those relationships. It takes a lot of hard work. And you have to want to be flexible, and you have to want to sacrifice things. And it depends on our effort into that relationship. So I think a lot of people in this day and age just are lazy. They go, everything's so convenient. You can call people, you have your cell phone, you can text someone. Everything's immediate satisfaction. So if immediate satisfaction isn't happening in your world romantically, a lot of people don't want to work at it.
Now, I think you're probably right about that. This is the voice of Char Margolis here on the Kevin DeBean Show. The book is called Love Karma. She is making a lot of appearances right now in Las Vegas at the Flamingo. And I'm not exactly sure what you're doing, but tell people why the meetings that you're having with your fans are at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Well, I have to do it in the morning because I can't have anyone in the room who's drunk.
Vegas, that's not assured at 11 a.m. either.
No, that's true. But, we need spirits from heaven, not spirits in the bottle.
Okay.
But the next event is February 9th, and I read for people, and it's a wonderful experience. And I bring people up on stage, and I go into the audience, and I connect with people and connect them to their loved ones. And even, you know, it's even though it's like, you know, quote Vegas, oh Vegas, you know, it's got a reputation. But the truth is, a lot of healing goes on in that room. It's in the Bugsy single room. And then I'm also there the April 20th and June 8th and August.
Does Bugsy ever visit?
You know, it's really crazy you say that, because the driver didn't come get me because I stayed at another hotel.
Right.
The driver didn't come get me. I flagged down this guy in a limousine. He must be 80 years old. He's got the toupee on. He's very sweet, typical Las Vegas kind of guy. And when we were driving there, out of nowhere, he didn't know who I was. He didn't know what I was doing. And I was saying something. Yeah, I've got a business meeting at the Flamingo Hotel. He says, boy, I think if Bugsy Siegel would know what's going on there, he would turn in his grave. I said, what made you say that? He goes, I don't know. I said, that's so weird. I said, I'm going to be in the Bugsy Siegel room. And they said, oh, well, who, you know, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. So,
was he turning in his grave, do you know? Did you check in with him? Get an answer for that?
I don't know. Let's go dig him up and find out.
These people that you're connecting with, their loved ones in Las Vegas, loved ones beyond the grave, right?
Right, in heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure, because we didn't say that. I want to make sure people know what's going on here, because look at the phones, Kevin, and we haven't even mentioned that we're taking calls for Shark.
I know. Everybody's on hold already.
Thank you guys out there who are calling in. I appreciate it.
They hear Char's name on the Kevin and Bean show, and they go, she will not make fun of my delusion that I can talk to people on the other side. I'm going to call in. So we're going to take some calls for Char.
Thank you so much. The
book is called Love Karma. Use your intuition to find, create, and nurture love in your life. It's available everywhere, including Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and whatnot. And the Flamingo Hotel in Las Vegas this Saturday, by the way, is the night. That's coming up fast.
You know what? Yeah, they can go to the Flamingo. And also, if you go to char.net, char.net, I didn't even talk to you guys. I mean, we're giving away some tickets for people who are on my Facebook and stuff. So,
okay.
Like free tickets. So,
all right. Well, people should check that out. And we're going to take a few calls for you, Char, if that's okay.
Yeah.
When we come back, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
One of the wackiest guests we ever invite onto the Kevin and Bean Show is Char Margolis, who has made a living as a psychic medium for many, many years. And people wait months for the chance to have a reading with you, right, Char?
They do, all over the world.
Would you consider yourself wacky?
I consider you wacky.
Ah, okay.
I'm fun. I'm really fun, but, you know, I talk to dead people for a living. That's what I do.
It's kind of a bummer, I got to be honest.
I've been doing it for 40 years. Well, it's not a bummer when you talk to people who've had a near-death experience and they come back and they tell you how amazing it is on the other side, and they don't want to come back, and the angels or Christ or whoever they see say, you know what, it's not your time, you got to go back. And they come back and they tell all kinds of stories. There was one woman who had a near-death experience, and she was proclaimed dead on the operating table. Her ethereal body, which is her spirit body, floated to the ceiling, saw the light fixture, the serial numbers. When they got her back in her body, she told them exactly the tiny, tiny little numbers that were on the ceiling.
Okay.
When
That's
she came
weird.
Back. So,
That's
you
weird.
Know,
hear
so
stories
look at
like
it.
That.
It's a controversial thing. And, you know, life's a school. We're here to learn lessons. So, you know.
That's either really cool or you're crazy.
But well, I don't think she's lying.
I don't know.
I don't think she's lying.
I honestly think that I'm probably one of the most balanced people you'll ever meet.
I think that's true, especially in this particular arena.
Right, in your field.
Maybe
Char,
that.
let me ask you this before we go to a call here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and that is, can you control whether you hear from the other side? In other words, if you're just
on a bus or walking down a street or something like that? That's a really good question. I turn it off and I turn it on, but sometimes, like I call it the veil, that's between us and the other side. Mm-hmm. It kind of lifts up, and I will meet someone and I'll feel something about them. But I try not to, because, you know, I mean, I literally have people that chase me down the street, and especially
that's not cool.
Especially in the Netherlands.
You're talking about muggers?
No, but
that's talking about dead people.
Wait, that's so weird you said that, because I had a dream last night that somebody jumped into my car and had a gun. That is so weird you said that about. Who's the psychic one now?
Yeah. None of us.
So I took the gun and I threw it out the window. So anyway, that was really weird that you said that.
All right, Kevin, who do you think is our most likely or best call? Use your intuition, Kevin. Which of the all women, by the way, all women who are on the line in every single line, which one do you want to go to?
Char, what percentage of people who get red are women?
I don't know the exact 100? Percentage, but no.
99?
I have so many successful millionaire businessmen.
Really? Because usually men are so much smarter than women.
I have said, you know what? Because you guided me to trust this person or not or make this deal, I have been very successful. Trust me, there are a lot of closet believers.
All right, let's go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Of course. Stephanie, I just need you to be open-minded about everybody, living and deceased, okay? I'm seeing somebody who's an M or J. Do you have a family that's an M initial?
I do.
Is that a female?
No.
Or is there a Michael or a Mark?
There is.
Is it Michael or Mark?
There's a Michael, but he's not part of my family.
Okay, but he's living, right?
Yes.
Okay. Was that a romance or just a friend?
A little of both.
Okay. I feel like he's not committing himself to the relationship. Does that make... Yeah. And I feel that you've put a lot of time and energy into Michael.
I
honestly, you know, this is what I write in my book, Love Karma. You know, like, the first true love is self-love. It doesn't mean you're selfish. It just means your needs come first. And I feel that he's more selfish about this.
Yeah.
And I feel it's time for you to move on.
Yeah, I have actually.
Okay, good. I want to know who Robert.
Robert, I don't know a Robert.
Is there a B or an R or a B? I'm sometimes off with the name, but not the initial.
A family member or friend?
Friend.
Not that I know of.
Was there an R or B person that you dated, or is that? I'm not sure.
Not for a long time.
But there was one.
Yeah.
Okay. Was he an R or B?
An R.
Was it a Robert or just an R name?
It was an R name.
Okay. I go to the past to get to the present, to get to the future. I see somebody new around you. Have you gotten someone new yet?
I have not.
Okay. Just be open-minded. I think it's time for you to move forward. Who is like Jason or John or...
I don't know either of those. Sorry.
A J. Who's a J around you?
Why don't you tell us who they are? You're the psychic.
Okay.
I know a Ryan, but that's during my extracurricular activity, but not in
no,
my...
No, 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 no. Who do you have who's a J initial around you? Do you have a parent or...
Oh, Jose's my dad.
Your dad. That's what I was thinking. Is he spelled...
Well, then don't say there's no J around
wait,
you.
Wait. Is he spelled J-O?
J-O, yeah.
Like John or Joseph?
Well, he's Jose. So.
Jose. I think that's Joseph.
Okay.
I feel like there's still a lack of communication between you and your dad.
Okay.
And I
feel like there's a lack of communication between Stephanie and us is what
yeah,
I feel.
Yeah, but
like.
No, you're funny. But I just want to make sure that when you meet someone that you don't try to have the same kind of energy of your dad. Not that your dad's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel that there's a lack of I don't know if he was the best role model with your mom.
Yeah, good
and so you may think that that's what love is. So you need to like be open minded about more healthy relationship than what Jose had with your mom. And thank you so much for calling, Stephanie. I wish you well.
Thank you.
Good luck,
Stephanie.
That was interesting because I don't know whether Stephanie was calling because she wanted to communicate with somebody from her somebody who's passed on, but it didn't seem like you felt anything around her of somebody who was dead.
I don't know. I just get what I give what I
get. You get what you get.
Yeah.
The Flamingo Hotel this Saturday starting at 11 o'clock, and you are giving away some free tickets to that reading on your Facebook page.
Yeah, and just go to char.net, char.net, and you can find the Facebook and everything.
And the new book is called Love Karma, Use Your Intuition to Find, Create, and Nurture Love in Your Life, unless you're a Stephanie. Char, great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks so much, you guys. I really appreciate you inviting me on.
Congratulations to Jennifer Klingsmith.
Oh, she's good. Smithson. I like her.
Jennifer Klingsmith.
Simonson from Santa Monica. That is our grand prize winner. Get to see Mumford & Sons in, I don't know, Amsterdam.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. So congratulations.
I got excited there for a minute. I thought you were going to say Jennifer Klingon. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, sorry.
That was the grand prize drawing of destination number 4 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. Hey, hold on. We got a phone call here.
I'm seeing something with a B. B. Something with a B. Ah, bullshit. Jeez, why don't you guys just book a wizard next time? It'd be just as authentic.
How dare you? I like Char.
If
she's
we
a nice
could
lady.
Find a wizard, we would.
She's a nice lady. Hey, guys, it's Super Bowl Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of people talking about a lot of different aspects of the game, from the power outage to the halftime show to all the new movie trailers. And I just wanted to get our friend Kevin Smith's reaction because he's on the phone with us, acclaimed director himself, Kevin Smith, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kev, how are you, man?
You guys may have watched the Super Bowl, but I watched the Iron Man trailer.
Yes.
Yeah, there just happened to be a football game around it, right? What'd you think of that?
I was astounded. I can't wait, man. Shane Black, you know, we all loved him as the writer of the Lethal Weapon movie that he kicked off that franchise. I loved Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I did too.
Oh, so good. If you haven't seen it, folks, get Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's got Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer being amazingly charming. The whole movie is just a big old charm factory. So the first trailer that we saw for Iron Man 3 a couple months back, with the attack by Mandarin on Tony's the hillside house,
right?
It sang of Shane Black to me, man. It's big, bigger than life, and those two dudes work well together. We saw a little more footage of Iron Man with looked like the president's plane being blown out and like 12 people in the air, and then Iron Man going, Jarvis, how many people? He's like, there are 12 in the air, and you can only carry 4. Really great stuff. Edge of your seat. And then when the minute was over and the trailer was done, they went back to a dopey football game. I was so depressed.
Oh, I bet you were.
All right, what about World War Z?
That looks great, man.
That looks great to me, too.
It's a book that everybody loves and whatnot. Brad Pitt, it's been delayed a little bit, but the movie, it doesn't look like it was delayed for quality. The trailer looks pretty damn good, man. I'd say the same thing about Lone Ranger, which I had no interest. Ask Ralph on Hollywood Babylon.
We'll talk about
I had
this.
No interest in Lone Ranger, but that spot looks so good.
It does look good. It does.
Yeah.
But forget all those. Never mind the movies. The best moment of the Super Bowl yesterday was watching that horse commercial, dude. Did you see the Budweiser Clyde?
Yes. Yeah. It was the best.
It was sweet.
Cried more
I
than
knew it.
The birth of my child.
I pictured you someplace sobbing like a baby.
I was sitting there with my kid, like we weren't watching the game at all, and then I heard on Twitter that like the power went off. I was like, ooh, finally something interesting. So I turned it on, and at that point, like the commercials were running. We left the game on in the background. But when the Clydesdale commercial, you know, it's very close to that Christian the Lion thing that was online a couple years ago.
Right.
This commercial's right up that alley, man. I'm sitting there with my kid. We're both watching it, and my wife's sitting on the bed behind us. And me and the kid are almost in unison, like a Jan and Dean song, crying. Crying like, oh, and doing all the, oh, my God, he remembers him.
Did you do it in that high voice?
Absolutely. And my wife is sitting right behind us, and she goes, you're both suckers.
Look, that was a beautiful ad, man. For folks who didn't see it, you can see all the Super Bowl ads on the CBS TV website. But this guy raises a little pony into a Clydesdale and then gives him away to the Budweiser team. And then 3 years later, they're reunited, and the horse remembers the guy, and they're hugging.
But
oh, my God, I was right there with you.
But the horse didn't bring the guy a Bud. That's the only thing that it was missing.
And the horse stomps him to death. They didn't show that part of the commercial. They just trampled him.
I loved it so much. I turned to my kid. She's 13 years old. I said, let's have a Budweiser.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Ken, did you hope that Bane was going to show up when the lights went out of the stadium? Is that what you were hoping for?
I did. It was just like, Gotham, take control. Take control of this city. And somebody's like, it's not Gotham, dude. It's New Orleans.
That was the creepiest. Like, no one, look, for all the proposition bets that we talked about with the Super Bowl, nobody had the power going out and the game being delayed a half an hour. That was like one of the weirdest things that's ever happened on such a big stage, wasn't it?
I think they need to do that on a regular basis now. Whenever one team is way behind,
pull
the plug.
Uh-huh. I like it.
Reset. Give them an hour to reconvene, and then we'll see some action out there.
All right, Kevin, thanks for your thoughts on that. Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or
I'm going to be at the at Lovitz tonight debuting a podcast show.
Maybe oh, my now. God. You're going to start a podcast show?
Can you believe it?
Thank God. Finally, we're getting you a venue where you can talk.
I've heard about so many of these kids doing these podcasts.
The kids
I'm gonna
love
try
them.
It myself.
Yeah. Wow.
We do a show tonight with, I'm doing a show with my friend Brian Johnson, who's on that show Comic Book Men, the bearded guy.
Yes.
We're doing a show called Why Bri at 8 o'clock. It's only $10, and that's because we're trying it out. We don't know if we have a show. We don't know if we have a beginning, middle, end. So we're trying to put this podcast on its legs, man. So we're inviting people to come out and see it. $10, 8 o'clock, up at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, the home of Hollywood Babylon, where me and Ralph sold out this weekend and had a killer show.
Nice.
Ralph sold out years ago, by the way. Hey, listen, you'll be talking mostly about comic books, or do we not even know yet what the topic is going to be with you?
The subject of Why Bri, if you want to see a teaser for it or taste for it, we've got a YouTube channel, so YouTube/CSmod, and we've been doing it for about 4 weeks now. Why Bri, the concept is I sit down with Bri, and he tells me a story that just blows my hair back, because he lives a pretty adventurous life. The one he tells online over the course of the last 4 weeks was about having sex with his ex-girlfriend's mother while she was there and stuff.
Nice.
All right.
Mind-bending story. So tonight he promises, like, I've known Brian for 25 years. Brian goes, look, I got a story tonight from when we worked together at Quick Stop, which is where we made Clerks. And he goes, and you've never heard this story. So I can't wait to watch your expression change. So I imagine it's something like, remember that? Remember you were eating ice cream and it had some runny whipped cream on it?
Oh, stop it.
Whipped cream or something like that.
All right. Let me give out the information again. If you want to get up close and personal with our friend Kevin Smith, he'll be on stage tonight at the Lovitz, which is up there at Universal. Tickets are just $10. You can get them from csmod.com or the John Lovitz Comedy Club.com. 8 o'clock, that's going to be you and your friend Brian Johnson with a brand new podcast. People can be there to see it in person. That sounds awesome, Kevin. Always great to have you stop by, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
All right, shape up, everyone. Best behavior here. Sarah Shahi is coming in after the top of the
hour. Yeah, Uncle Creepy, why don't you watch it? Yeah, talk about best behavior.
By the way, let's all be nice.
Yourself. Did you watch the UFC fights on Saturday night, B?
I did not.
One of the guy's nicknames is Uncle Creepy.
Really?
It is Uncle Creepy.
Does he touch his opponent inappropriately during the fight?
He's got a bizarre mustache that's all waxed up. I mean, he's just kind of playing the character. But I was like, that's Bean's name.
Guys, yeah. I'm not at all creepy.
You,
I don't know why you say that.
Completely creepy.
Sarah Shahi has been in here numerous times in the past. Have I ever said a single inappropriate thing to her? Never.
I can't tell you what they are, but
never.
A lot. Yeah.
Sure, if we look back in the files, we'll find it.
8:55.
When's more of the shirt off stuff going to happen? That's the kind of thing you usually ask.
It's time for Ralph and the Showbiz Bee.
Ugh, creepy. By the way, don't be on your best behavior with Sarah coming in. I think we need to be on our worst behavior because she is very adamant she wants to do shots this morning.
Okay.
She made that. What? That was like the rider on her contract.
This is the best
she
guest
said,
day
I'll
ever.
Come in, but we're doing shots. And I was like, all right.
Bianca
She was tweeting Dave requests of what alcohol needs to be in the building when she arrives at 9 o'clock in the morning.
High-end tequila, neat, no lime. That was her her menu order. So we got some Patron. We got a couple different kinds to select from. So maybe we'll do a little taste test while she's on the air. I'm glad I have an appointment after the show. That should be very successful.
Help us with your doctor.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. It is Monday. That's what we do. Warm Bodies, the zombie romantic comedy, or zom-rom-com. As I like to call it, is number one at the box office this weekend with $19.5 million. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, number two. Silver Linings Playbook, third. Mama came in at number four. Zero Dark Thirty was fifth. Then Sarah's new film, Bullet to the Head with Sylvester Stallone, was sixth on the list with $4.5 million. Sarah tweeted, by the way, that she gets nude in the film.
What?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. But I think had they leaned on that aspect of it during the promotion,
that's all they would have had to say.
It would have done much better than sixth place this weekend. Parker was seventh. Django Unchained was eighth. Les Mis and Lincoln ringing out, top 10. Rounding out the top 10. Whatever. The Super Bowl movies at the box office. The reason I got so distracted is because the biggest showbiz story in the world just came across my desk this morning, and we haven't talked about it yet, so I need to get to it quickly while we still have time.
All right.
This is a big one.
Biggest showbiz story in the world.
By far. I was shocked and so overjoyed when I read the press release this morning that came across my desk.
Which is?
Fallout Boy's getting back together.
Woo! Yay!
Fallout Boy. Fallout Boy. Pete Wentz and Fallout Boy are back together.
Woo!
President of the Fallout Boy fan club said they were apart. Yes. 3 years ago, they went on hiatus. Now they're back together again with a new album that was recorded in secret, so no one would know they're getting back together again. I say secrets are meant to be kept, Fallout Boy.
So basically,
like anyone would have cared.
basically, they just took three years to make a new album. That's all that happened here, right? This isn't a story.
The first single is available globally May the 6th.
Thank God.
It's the 10th anniversary of Fall Boy's first album. So you have to wait till May. But it'll be worth it. They're going
on tour.
That'd
be amazing, wouldn't it?
Going on tour, too. Starting tonight in Chicago, they are starting what they're calling the Save Rock and Roll Tour.
Wow.
They've taken it upon themselves to save rock and roll. Thank God Fall Out Boy is here to save rock and roll.
Shouldn't a rock and roll band save rock and roll?
You'd think. If I want to entrust the duty of saving rock and roll to anyone...
It's Dave Grohl.
I think, well, he's already saved rock and roll. Yeah. I don't think it needs saving, but I don't think Fall Out Boy are the fellas to make that happen.
Gotta check that out.
I could not believe the fanfare with which they released this press release saying that they're back together. As if we've all been sitting around waiting, saying, damn... When is Fall Out Boy?
Sure miss that band.
Sure do.
Giddy up.
Stunning. So there you go, Fall Out Boy fans. Fan, I'm sorry. Fall Out Boy fan. There you go. There's your news. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gavin DeGraw is 36 years old today. Singer-actress Natalie Imbruglia celebrates her 38th birthday. Rick Birch, bassist of Jimmy Eat World, is 38. Oscar De La Hoya. He's the people's champion.
Yeah.
I've heard him say that many times on this show. 40 years old today. Rob Corddry, funny, funny man who is actually in Warm Bodies. Number one movie in America.
Right? Almost stole it, I think. He was really funny in it.
You know, from Hot Tub Time Machine as well and Children's Hospital, 42 years old. Noodles, our buddy Noodles from Offspring, celebrates his 50th birthday today. Happy birthday, Noodles. Clint Black, the country singer, is 51. And Alice Cooper. Legendary rock and roll star Alice Cooper is 65 years old today. Alice, by the way, another genius, much like Kiss. You slap on that makeup, you look exactly the same as you did in 1975. It doesn't matter that you're an old golfer now. You can go on stage and still be Alice Cooper. Smart man. He's 65. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I can't decide if this is going to go great or awful, but I'm intrigued so far.
You okay there, Sunshine? I'm a little time with
no,
the headphones.
No. My headphones weren't working for a second. Okay. They're back.
Are you already drunk before you
We haven't even done shots yet!
Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Sarah Shahi joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
It's about time you came home. We've missed you.
I know.
It has
I've
been a long
LA.
Time. Of course, from the terrific series Fairly Legal that left us too soon. She claims not to know anything about this Bullet to the Head movie. Says she wasn't even in it. I don't know about that. We'll discuss.
No, it's Sylvester Stallone's Bullet to the Head.
And we'll talk about Person of Interest coming up. So how have you been? What's going on? What's new?
Oh, what's new are these three lovely Patron bottles sitting in front of me right now.
Let me just busting open a bottle.
I think we should just try all of them.
Let me just explain. Sarah sent, I think, Ralph an email saying that she wants to do some shots when she comes in.
She said, I'll come in, but we're doing shots.
Right. So Ralph got the alcohol because that's what Ralph does. And then Sarah walked in the studio. She's like, I didn't know you would take me seriously.
Well,
when it comes to shots, it doesn't take much pushing.
Yeah, and it doesn't take much pulling from my arm either to get me to do this. So here we go.
What is this?
Wait. This is the Patron Cafe Dark. It's cocoa. Oh, you know what I had in New York recently?
What?
Was chocolate whiskey.
Chocolate whiskey? Horrible.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
Really?
It was amazing.
Really?
I'm bringing some back, and then we're going to do it next time.
I had chocolate vodka one time.
Cheers.
There you go. Cheers.
That doesn't sound very good.
No. Neither did yours.
That was awesome.
That's what it sounded like, Sarah.
F yes.
F yes, indeed.
F yes.
Oh, that's tasty.
I effing like that.
Thank you, Joe Flacco. Appreciate that. So, Sarah.
Yes, Bean. How are you?
We met.
I think it's working.
Like, she's not a spaz enough without tequila.
By the way, it's so funny because I asked Steve. I was like, "What did they say about me?" And he goes, "Well, Kevin said you're a spaz," and I'm like, "That's it." And then that's it. I'm like, "That's the only thing." And he goes, "Well, you are." And I was like, "Okay, that was the only thing."
What
they said.
Do you want me to do? Go on and on about you with your husband?
Yes.
Well, that's weird.
No.
We were trying to look. I'm going to tell
actress.
You, Sarah. Your husband was in here because he's a very talented actor on Shameless, of course. So we had him in a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like we were all on our best behavior. We were trying not to talk too much about you because we didn't want him. We didn't want him to think we had him in because of you. We were excited to meet him and to talk to him about his stuff. So we kind of kept you in the closet.
She's pouring another shot.
Oh, come on, Bean. You had him in because of me.
Not at all.
Come on.
That's no, true. Sarah needs to believe that, Bean. Let her believe that.
Exactly. Okay. Let me be the star in the family for once. I'm the funny one.
No, I'm just saying we had a great time with Steve. He's a super
good.
Nice guy.
Yes, he's a good guy. And he had such a great time. He had such a great time
here,
too.
He was very, very quick to agree with me about the spaz comment, though. Very. He almost said it at the same time I did.
You're going to cause a fight.
All right, listen. Let's talk about some of your stuff because you have
okay,
so
wait,
many
let me just down
on.
The shot first. Right, hold on one second.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
One
number
more.
Two. Okay. These are big shots, by the way, that she's pouring.
Ralph, are you keeping up or are you letting her go ahead?
Hell yeah.
You just keep okay.
That's a good one, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's that one? Is it different than the other one?
This one? Okay, this one is Cafe Dark, and then this one just says Cafe.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
Okay. The first one was more of like a liqueur. This is more like tequila, more coffee tequila.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're both. Can we talk about the Stallone movie, please?
Alcohol.
Because
let's talk about the Stallone movie.
Maybe it didn't have the biggest box office in the world, but you got to be in a movie with Sylvester Stallone, which I imagine just from a purely acting perspective, that's super fun.
It was amazing. Yeah,
what's he like in person?
Okay, he's 67 years old.
Yeah,
and he is the most disciplined. Most self-deprecating, one of the most humorous people I've ever met in my life.
Really?
He has such...
Can you understand what he's saying? Because it seems like his face is sliding right off of his skull.
Well, I know. He's fairly legal, you know? Mentally, whatever you want to spaz.
That's better than your Bob Dylan. And
how
I get,
dare you, woman?
That's better than your
that
Bob Dylan.
That was like 20 years ago for Stallone, though. Now he's...
don't fight the big fight!
No, I mean, you, yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah.
Is his physique as awe-inspiring in person as it is on the film? Because you look at him, the man in his 60s, and he's built like that, and he's shredded and ripped and just all muscles. It's
kind of
scary.
It's kind of scary in person to see how cut he is.
Yeah.
I mean, his veins have muscles. Like, yeah. I've never seen...
It might be a clot.
Yeah.
Might be an aneurysm.
Better get him checked.
That's right.
And how was he as an... you play his daughter in the movie, of course.
Yes,
how
I play
was
his
he... As a person, you enjoyed him very much, but being in a scene with him as an actor, how is that?
Oh, you know, he's one of those people, like, he genuinely loves making movies. Like, you know, he was just as giving during my take as he is in his take. He's in it. You know, something different happens every time. He's also one of those guys. Will you pour me another one, darling?
Yes, of course.
That's what she needs.
It feels so good to drink, especially this early in the morning. No, he's, what was I talking about?
There you go. And that's what you need is another shot,
Sarah.
Good
enough. No,
but he, oh yeah, I remember. He's one of those guys that, you know, like I said, he genuinely loves making movies. And in between takes or in between scenes, most actors, they go back to their trailer, they go to craft service. But no, he's right there. He's right there. He never once goes back to this trailer. You know, he has the cigars, he smokes the cigars, even though it says no smoking.
Sure, sure.
And he still smokes the cigars. He's still alone. He can do that.
What are you going to do?
And he just has a great time.
So he does off camera with you when you're doing your coverage, when you're doing your scenes, he's right there for you, giving you the same performance he gives when he's on camera.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that rare? I don't know that world.
It can be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yes, it can be, depending on who it is. And, yeah, I mean, I've had to do it.
He doesn't have to do it. They could have someone come in
He could absolutely have it in his contract where he's like, you know what, I'm just there for 10 hours a day, which means everyone just shoots his side out first, and all the other actors have to act to a T-stand.
And that's normal. Yeah.
And it's pretty common.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely heard of. But, no, he's not like that. And I don't know, to say that Rocky Balboa was my dad at one point, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
That's pretty bad ASS.
Tell me about your tattoos in the movie, because I've only seen stills of that, but that looks like a lot of work.
It was 4 hours in the hair and makeup trailer every day.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot. And, you know, we shot it in New Orleans, so after filming, we would all go out every night and we'd party.
Oh, what a shock. You would drink? Really?
What? You'd have a drink in New Orleans?
I'm stunned.
Yeah, well, there are some tabletops that have my name written all over them at this point. And,
have your butt written all over them.
Have my butt? Is that what you said?
That's what he said.
He did say that.
There's the creepy
folks.
Because
he's creepy.
That's what he says.
The creepy
we were
waiting
for.
On a table, that's
you know
all.
What? No, I was listening to you guys before I came in.
Yes.
And you, I don't think you've ever said anything.
Because it's not a fair assessment of me.
Or maybe you don't it that way.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
It's hard to creep you out, I think.
But I
is
can't
what
remember
happens.
Anything that's been said that was inappropriate.
Because I'm respectful and appropriate with our guests. That's why. Because
I mean, you saying that I you know, mark the tables with my ass.
You can say ass.
Okay, ass.
Again.
And that's like a 3-year-old joke. I don't take that inappropriately. That's like what my son told me last night.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
You're
Appreciate
welcome. So she's comparing you to a 3-year-old.
I'm not sure that was a compliment, Dean.
You're not creepy. You're just really immature. Is what you said.
I'll accept that.
Sarah okay, cheers.
Oh, another one. The movie is called Bullet to the Head. By the way, before we take a break, and this isn't me talking. This is Ralph who said in the Showbiz Beat that he heard that there was some nudity in the movie. True or not true?
True.
I heard it from Miss Sarah Shahi, who tweeted it.
Now, didn't you say that you would see it this weekend?
I was supposed to, and then the baby got sick.
I understand.
I couldn't.
Nice pull.
Priorities. Yeah. I get it.
I was going to go too, but Ralph's baby got sick. So. Bullet to the Head in theaters now. We'll take a break and come back with Sarah Shahi. We'll talk person of interest and drink some more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I don't belong
here. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Shots with Shahi.
Yep. K-Rock.
I think it's a new regular Monday feature.
She's serious about this.
She is not kidding.
By the way, how many shots in? Is anyone keeping track? How many shots in before Sarah insisted on talking about vaginal rejuvenation?
You know what, party pooper? You don't need a count.
Yeah.
You don't need a count.
Woo! Now she hates me as much as we do. alcohol.
It'll be a while, but she'll get there. She'll get there.
So, Sarah.
Yes, Bean.
We were very sad about Fairly Legal because
I was so sad, darling.
It did seem like that they pulled the plug too soon on that show. It seemed like that show had a lot of life left.
Were you bummed when it went away, or were you like, okay, I've had my run with that?
You know what? I was done. I was done.
Oh, you were. Sense about you that you were done.
I was done.
Yeah.
Short
attention span.
No.
It was only on for 2 years?
No, listen, Spaz.
I don't think this says the show was going fulfilling the potential you may have thought it had.
I'll tell you what happened. We switched creative direction in the second season.
Right.
And I love how PC I just sounded.
Yes,
right
there. You did.
I think I actually have a shot in this business. and the new direction was not kind of where I wanted to go. The show became a little bit more procedural, a little bit more soap heavy at the same time, and I felt the character of Kate Reed really kind of changed and became this very kind of earnest, why can't we all just get along?
First season at all.
No, which she was not like that. You know, she was supposed to be this tornado that entered a room.
She was like a wild child.
I felt like the first season did that. She was a spaz.
A hard tequila drinking spaz. That's what she was.
Yeah. So anyway, so when the show was done, I was ready to let it go.
Yeah. I still miss it.
I love that character. She was a perfect mess.
I loved your character and I loved your assistant's character.
Yes. Baron was great.
He was great.
He's very funny. Leo. If you guys ever want to have him on the show, he's a good time.
Yeah.
It does sound like season one you didn't really have to act at all because that was you. And then season two you had to be a grown up.
How dare you?
So now person of interest, which seems like walking into a winner.
Oh man, it is. I mean, person of interest. You know, this role, it was pretty amazing. Right after Thanksgiving, it was less than a week after my show got canceled, I had three offers sitting on the table. One was for
show business work, just offers from people in general, right?
F you, Ralph.
One was dinner.
F you.
One was a bottle of Patron.
F you, Ralph. F you hard.
If you insist.
I had three offers. One was... am I supposed to talk about this?
Sure. Well, we don't know. Just
have
talk
another
about
shot.
It.
Loosen up. See what happens.
One was Legends with Howard Gordon. The other one was Person of Interest, and the other one was Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, the new
the
TV
new Beverly
version.
Hills Cop. Yeah. Yes. And
you made the right choice.
And I agree. What is that smirk for?
I'm just saying. Of those three options, I think you made the right choice.
So, but it was pretty great because I was going through this, period where I was really kind of down to myself and, oh my God, am I going to get another job? And then I had these three offers on the table. And so I started drinking in celebration.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I chose Person of Interest. And the role, she's really badass. I mean, she's like the female Jason Bourne.
Can't say ass.
You know, what?
Can't say ass.
Oh, shut up.
You scared her for a minute. She had forgotten she had said it eight times before.
No, she's the female Jason Bourne. And like in my first episode alone, I speak three languages. I kill like 18 people, Daddy in Bullet to the Head.
Sweet.
And, I'm kind of nervous but incredibly excited at the same time because I've never done anything like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if it's cool to list this person as one of my people that I kind of look up to and would like to emulate in some way, but I'm obsessed with Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
And I
so
mean,
are we.
Okay, good, as we all should. And yeah, and all of her movies, the good ones, the bad, and this role is, it's very kick-ass.
You kicked a little ass in life, though, when you played a cop on that series.
I did, but you know what? Not as much. I mean, in this one, I had to go through military training.
Sweet. Could you kick my ass right now?
I think so. I could give you a couple really good elbows.
Yeah. That's not going to put me down.
Well, but then...
But with her height, it would be right to your groin.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
One would put
okay,
me down.
Okay, I'm fun size. I just want to say, that's for sure. You are fun size. I'm not short or small. No. It is called fun size.
Fun size. That's good enough.
Person of Interest, by the way, was created by Jonathan Nolan, of course.
That's right.
And The Dark Knight and everything like that.
Yes,
I mean, the guy, he's just a genius.
He's an amazing writer. Yeah.
And he directed your episodes, too, right?
Or at least the first one, the 21st.
I've watched every episode of that series.
Have you really?
I have.
You have? Seriously?
And that's why I'm saying don't F it up.
Oh, my God.
Because I love that show.
Yeah, drunky. Don't go on there and get all sloppy and F up our favorite show.
Drinking. Oh, come on.
Cut. Oh, my God.
Can we send Shahi home? We'll start it again in the morning. We'll try this again, please.
No, but you know what's funny is there was a day in New York because it's been incredibly cold. And we should tweet about that.
Sorry, go ahead.
I feel like a punching bag this morning.
I'm sorry. What's going on?
I don't know. You guys must really like me.
Maybe that's what it is. It's a little sister syndrome.
That's what it's like in my family, because if we like you, we make fun of you.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, if we don't like you, then we're incredibly serious, and we just want you to get the F out.
Right,
So,
But you're a fellow drinker, so we're good.
I'm a fellow what?
Drinker.
Oh, I thought you said drooper, and I was about to go, no, I'm not.
Fellow drunk.
Fellow drooper. But, yeah, no, there was this one day in New York when we were shooting, and, you know, it's like -9 in New York right now. Or it was a couple weeks ago. And my character, she's a badass. So she wears, like, a hoodie, a beanie. You know, she's got her like, MP5 strapped around her chest, you know, underneath her hoodie. Let me see if I can remember it. Her HK. Ha-ha.
Nice.
Ha-ha. Her HK in the back. And, and so, yeah, so it was really cold, and they cut because they were like, she's too cold. We can read it on camera. Sarah, can you try to shiver less?
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, okay, I'm really trying.
Trying to shiver less? How do you do that?
And then Jonah was just kind of like, all right, we've got to cut. Go put her in a warming van, heat her up a little bit, and then bring her back out. It's effing cold.
Little did they know a bottle of Patron would have cured that problem.
I actually said, I was like, look, I don't know what kind of standard Jim Caviezel runs around here, but if it were, I did that every time he turned around.
He only drinks holy water. That's the only thing he drinks.
The Person of Interest with Sarah debuts on February 21st, by the way. That's going to be the first of your episodes. And you're on multiple episodes, right? This isn't just a guest star.
I am. Yes.
Okay,
this is a big deal.
How great is Mike Emerson, by the way?
Oh, my God.
Is he like
lovely.
One of the nicest guys on the planet and a brilliant actor?
Yes, he's amazing. Yeah. I did a scene with him, a really, really wonderful. It was like a 3-page scene. I hope it turns out wonderfully. And you know, and it was our first time meeting each other, and we gave each other hugs, and you know, great job in seeing that kind of thing. And I just told him over and over again, I was like, I think you're a prince. I'm like, I feel like I just learned so much from you, just from acting opposite you, and you're amazing. And he really is. He's standoutish. He's awesome.
He's amazing.
An amazing actor and an amazing guy. We were down in Comic-Con, and we were going to interview him, and then they said he had the flu, and we were like, oh, that's depressing, because and then we walked inside the hotel, and he was at the bar throwing him back. I was like, good for you.
Well, are you serious?
Good for you. I thought, that's exactly what I would do in your situation. Cancel the interview and throw him back.
Well, that's the way to get rid of the flu.
Yeah.
Listen, we got to take a break.
Come on, Bean.
You insist that Sarah stick around for showbiz, though, right?
Whatever with showbiz, we'll cancel showbiz. We'll do more shots with Shahi.
But Sarah wants to hear what's going on with the Kardashians, so we'll do that when we come back right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
All right, just one more before we go.
Oh, Ralph.
The wheels are off the bus now, by the way.
Which one did we do?
We went back to the Cafe Dark.
This is the best one.
This is Sarah Shahi, the very beautiful actress in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Shots with Shahi is our new feature.
Happy ending.
It is Sylvester Stallone's Bullet to the Head.
That's right.
Not your movie. What was the thinking behind you have to have one more? Why, Ralph?
Because the last one didn't settle too well with Sarah.
She
had like an icky taste in her mouth, so I wanted to get that taste out of her mouth by giving her something nice.
She's like a spider monkey. She's been climbing the walls and going under, moving the chairs
and peeing everywhere and throwing her own feces, actually, which we're not expecting.
It's really a little shocking.
Gosh. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying what I've seen this morning, you need to dump Kevin Smith and start doing the Hollywood Babylon with Sarah Shahi. I think that's the show.
She's a good time.
Can I do it today? Can I do it?
What do you want to do? Showbiz beat with me?
Yeah, I want to
all
do
right,
it.
I'll
Ralph,
talk
don't
about,
let her do it.
We'll talk about some stories, and then you can just chime in and let me know what you think, all right?
You talk about Kevin Bacon right there.
All right. Let's start with this Kevin Bacon story.
Wait, I want to scoot next to you.
Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
Star of the new series, The Following on Fox.
He wishes he could avoid wedding receptions.
Why is that, Sarah?
Because the actor tells Us Weekly magazine.
What's happening?
You keep...
that whenever he's at a wedding, the DJ usually spots him there, and then they start playing Footloose.
Ah.
And then people kind of form a circle around him and start clapping. Kevin says, like, he's a trained monkey.
Go, monkey! Go, monkey!
And expect him to do the Footloose dance routine that he did in the movie. And
that would get old.
I guess since he did it, I don't know, 25 years ago, maybe he's ready to let that go.
Yeah.
But people at wedding receptions apparently are not ready to let that go.
Okay, yeah. What about
it's like
Heidi Klum?
It's like me with bodybuilding. Everywhere I go, people want me to bench press like 500 pounds. I'm like, I don't do that anymore. Okay,
yeah.
That was just
yeah.
in
exactly
the Olympics.
Like that.
Happens all
yeah.
the time.
Heidi Klum says, what does she say, Sarah?
She is so over the marriage thing.
Why is that?
The supermodel tells Us Weekly magazine, the last time I got married, we got married every year. I got married so many times, I think I'm over it now. Now we should do it in German accent.
You're drunk.
She and Seal,
you're drunk.
She and Seal would renew their marriage vows every year. Of
I know,
their
but isn't that
well,
usually
no one made them do that?
No,
I'm not trying to be sexist here, but isn't that usually the woman's idea?
I believe it was Seal's idea.
Oh well,
and you can see how well it worked because now they're very divorced.
Yeah,
so it's not necessarily the best way to keep your marriage together. I think
I don't want to talk about this next person.
All right, we'll move on.
Skip
then.
The story.
Wait, I want to know who it is. We're not going to talk about.
We talked about her earlier.
Okay,
yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. Let's talk about Amanda Bynes. She's a mess.
Poor thing. She seems to be a lost little soul. TMZ.com reports that What I Like About You star had to move out of her apartment last Friday after management threatened to evict her.
Why?
Word is she enjoyed smoking marijuana and cigarettes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Morning, noon, and night, despite the fact that the building is smoke-free. Now, one source tells Us Weekly the place was littered with Q-tips and the butts from Marlboro Lights, and her parents are so worried they've moved into a hotel room next to their baby girl.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Shahi. You should add that to your monologue list for your next audition.
What do you guys think the Q-tips is about?
Now, interestingly enough, we did a story earlier, and I heard from a listener saying that Q-tips, I don't know how they're used, but apparently are used in heroin use in some
way. Oh, no.
So there's some concern that maybe Amanda Bynes might be... Yeah, right.
What?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, how are they used, Sarah?
You know, they're just used.
She doesn't know. She has no idea. So there is
you're drunk.
Concern that maybe she's, you know,
oh boy,
chasing the dragon. We don't
she
want
has
that.
Long legs though. That's a plus
good,
for a girl.
Good point.
That's true. Maybe she's whacked out on black tar heroin, but she does have nice legs.
She does have nice legs.
That's what matters.
You know, give me your keys.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
No, give me your keys.
I'm driving.
Give me your keys. You're too drunk.
I'm okay.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing. That's me and Sarah in the parking lot. And people are talking about the commercials of the Super Bowl, of course. Sarah was just watching the Clydesdale commercial in the office before you came on.
Yeah,
you hadn't seen it. You hadn't finished it.
No, I still haven't finished it.
It's very touching. It's about a man who raises a cult Clydesdale from birth and then sells him to the Budweiser Corporation.
Is it based on a true story?
No, it's just manufactured to tug at your heartstrings and make you drink beer.
So it's all fabricated?
Yeah, it's... You know what commercials are, right?
Okay.
You know they're not documentaries, right?
What the hell's going on?
Little 30-second documentaries. They're created to sell products, Sarah.
Wait, is that true?
It's based on a true story.
What's wrong with you?
What is wrong with you?
It could have happened.
Right? Yes, people loved horses, but I don't think this particular horse was in love with the actor
usually
playing the
owner.
Usually
the things that get me are based on a true story.
You're drunk.
Yeah. other popular commercials, Willem Dafoe playing the devil, trying to make a man get a Mercedes-Benz in exchange for his soul. The Audi's prom night, where that guy goes in to kiss the prom queen and gets punched in the eye, but he doesn't care because he's driving an Audi. That was pretty funny.
Was that the Bar Raffaelli thing?
No, that's a different one. But the Audi one, Ralph, there's a lot of outrage online from women's groups talking about how, because he kissed that girl without her permission.
Because he basically went in and forced himself on that girl at the prom.
There was obviously a backstory there that he had long time had a crush on her or something, and she loved it. She loved
it. I'm just telling you, bitches be crazy. You know.
She was asking for it.
Bitches
she was dressed,
be crazy.
The way she was dressed at that prom, she was asking to be.
That's not the point. That doesn't help at all, man. That doesn't help at all.
The Miracle Stain with Joe Montana's face on the shirt was very, very popular.
Funny.
Mm-hmm. And everyone agrees the worst commercial of the night was that freaking farmer commercial where they talk about farmers.
The Ram Dodge Ram commercial was
horrible.
Terrific.
No, it was horrible. Here's
do we have some of the audio from that?
Because I think it is.
Yeah, people are wrong.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need someone who will work with dirt all day, go to his local bar, get loaded up on cheap beer, come home and rough up his wife.
No, that's
so
not
God
the right.
Made a farmer.
That's not the real commercial.
God
all,
said,
though.
I need somebody who after 14 showers will still smell like horse. Yeah. So God made a farmer.
That's right.
That's not the real ad.
Sometimes
God
that
said,
smell is attractive.
I need someone with very little regard for dental hygiene who will think of a book as only something to be used to prop up the short leg of his still.
Yes.
So God made a farmer.
That's a terrible story.
And God said, I need somebody who, after a pint of moonshine, will take a look at his sheep and say, damn, that sheep has a really sweet ass. And then he will the sheep.
Yes, he will.
That's
so God
inappropriate.
Made a farmer.
That's what God made farmer.
That's why Bean liked it so much.
You should see Shani's eyes light up when moonshine was mentioned, by the way. She was like, yes,
I have
moonshine.
A distributor. I have a distributor in Texas.
For moonshine?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to buy alcohol in the real world.
5:30.
Yeah, we start at 5 a.m. We're here at 5 a.m. We start at 5:30.
Oh, my God.
Would you like to join us tomorrow?
Should I?
I'll probably still be up.
Let's talk about celebrity birthdays. You want to do the celebrity birthdays today?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Oh, singer Alice Cooper is 65.
Why are you yelling?
You have a microphone. You're not trying to shout to Los Angeles.
I just got really excited.
All right.
It's Alice Cooper. Country singer Clint Black is 51. Guitarist Kevin Noodles Wasserman of The Offspring is 50. Actor Rob Corddry from Hot Tub Time Machine.
And
W.
Warm Bodies.
And Warm Bodies this weekend.
Warm Bodies. Oh, is that what W stands for?
Yeah. No, okay. No. W stands for the movie W, but he was also in Warm Bodies.
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Whatever you say. Is 42. former boxing champion Oscar De La Hoya is 40. Where's that little buzzer thing? You know how you like
the
do
bell?
Ding, 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 ding?
That?
Yeah, there you go.
Usually reserve that for attractive women.
Well, I'm a girl doing it, so I'm going to do it for attractive men.
Okay.
Okay, so bassist Rick Burke of Jimmy Eat World is 38. Singer-actress Natty Imbruglia, bing, 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 is 38. Rapper Cameron is 37. Bing, 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 bing. Bing, 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 bing.
All right.
What's singer happening? Gavin DeGraw is 36. Bing.
Only one.
She's Sarah Shahi. I'm Ralph Garman, and that's the Showbiz Beat.
Wow.
I want to applaud.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm exhausted.
Our new
that.
Double act. We're taking it on the road. We'll be at an Indian casino near you, so check your local listings.
I love Indian casinos.
I'm sure you do.
Sarah, you're the best. We love you.
You're
the
best. We do love you.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have comedian Ari Schaefer in the program.
Oh, he's great. He's one of my friends. He's awesome.
Okay, good.
Tell him I said hi.
He's one of Sarah's friends.
Yeah.
I'm sure you heard it. Roman, he came to my baby shower.
Roman Coppola will be in the studio talking about Moonrise Kingdom.
He's
we have,
great, too.
Norman Reedus. Do you recognize that name? Norman Reedus?
Norman Reedus,
he
no.
is Daryl on the mother effing Walking Dead, which comes back this Sunday.
Woo!
Very exciting.
Oh, I can't wait.
Awesome.
That's tomorrow morning. And Sarah Shahi will be back at 5:30. So we'll see.